Let go.
Wait. Hit record again.
Record, yes.
Oh, yes.
Get him, Messi.
Get him.
This is going to be
too late,
person.
Messi.
What if you blow on his claws, he releases?
It actually worked that time.
Ah! Oh, I hope this is on tape.
It is.
I hope Don didn't focus.
I hope Don survives.
How dare you be on that podcast for 4 hours? That's a bad Messi!
Go to your box.
Go to your box, Messi. Go to your box.
Rest up for the next attack.
I gave you Utopia's box. You got a big box to lay in.
What's at least there? Don gets a $500 toy. Messi gets a 20-cent box.
Hey, they put a lot of work into those boxes.
That box probably cost 10 bucks at least.
Probably.
Well,
it's just somehow fitting. Don's cat sleeps in a third-party toy box. It's perfect.
This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby. Featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 398, recorded... It doesn't matter when it was recorded. This is what's going to go up for the last 2 weeks of the year.
We record this the week of Christmas. That's what matters.
Yeah, this is recorded the week of Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
This is our gift from our family to yours.
If you call it a gift.
No returns.
No returns. No returns. So I'm approaching this differently than normal because I'm honestly a little afraid. It's not that this is the first time that we've done this, because we've pretty much had a year in review every year for the last 3 or 4 years, right? We might have missed 2011.
Every year there's been a year to review, we've reviewed a year.
There you go. It's just a lot of work. And XV and I have been working on show notes today, and normally we have one page.
Today we have 17.
We have 17 pages.
So it was 16. We're going to be here for a while.
Yeah, so I guess you call this year a real page turner.
Everybody talk fast.
Don needs a lobotomy for whatever pun part there is there.
We got to get Melvar to do the sound bite for I've done it again. That was perfect.
So first, I just want to mention, this episode of Radio Free Cybertron is brought to you by Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audibletrial.com/RFC. There you go. I had to get that out. Apparently, North Carolina is now open territory for Amazon. So, huzzah! I love Audible, by the way. So, this is our 2014 year in review. We are going through and talking about the major items that happened in the past year. I guess first and foremost, one of the big things, though, we had quite a few changes within the RFC family this year. Of course, we lost JD Church, our pal, and the person you can blame for this. JD will be missed. We'll link to the JD tribute show. But in good news, guess what, John? You're a father.
Guess what, John? You're a father. Did you not know?
Did you know that?
He's in shock.
I was speechless because I'm so tired.
Sarah Jean DeLuna. When was she born? It was like in January, right?
January the 6th.
Yeah.
So she's about 11 and a half months old.
I think John's still trying to figure out how it happened. You know, it's just a whole mystery.
I'm pretty sure I know that part.
Don, we'll explain it to you one day.
But
it took a lot of... like planning and not very romantic things to make it happen. It becomes very tactical. And cold.
It's like launching a nuke.
Yeah, it's very,
is this like rum in my Coke?
But that is so awesome. Congratulations. She's beautiful. You and Jamie. You and Jamie did good.
Thank you.
Let's see. I was going to say you're the only father, but Diecast is a dad. So that's scary.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's awesome. Amy also is about to drop out her third kid.
I mean, I suppose there's rather a bit less ceremony about it after, you know, your second or third.
On to the RC review.
But another thing, so another big deal that happened this year is RC, which Don doesn't have her yet, but he will have her soon. And that's been 28 years.
Don is expecting an addition to his family very soon also.
Yeah.
It's going to be good for Don to have someone to go to sleep with at night.
Yes, Massey. I'm married. I sleep with my cat.
The cats don't really give you a choice, though, right? A dog you can kick off the bed. A cat would kind of be a little bit
harder.
Depends
on the dog.
Depends on the dog, yeah.
If you got a big dog and you try to kick it off the bed, you know, you might be making a mistake there.
Yeah. So 2014 was a huge year. We had, gosh, just for us...
We had a movie. That always makes it a big year.
Yeah, it was movie year, so of course that was huge. We had at least a couple of video games come out, if only one was on major consoles. But one was a crossover with another major franchise, so that's pretty huge.
Only it was good.
I like it.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Angry Birds. I was thinking of Darkspark. Never mind.
No. Yeah, that's not good.
Except the 3DS version, from what I've heard.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I don't have it.
It's a strategy game, so I want it.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I know. I want to pick that up. I keep forgetting about it. Calling that a good sign.
Gamefly may still have it on sale for about $13. Just, pretty good. Probably worth a look.
I'll check it out. Lots of conventions. We were at Toy Fair, thanks, Diecast. Let's see here. Gosh. There's BotCon, of course. TFCon USA, so the first TFCon in the USA that happened this year. Lots of new toys, stuff that we weren't expecting. Like we mentioned, RC, Generations Brainstorm. We have a Leader Class Jetfire. I mean, did we expect that? A Roadbuster, Whirl, Rhinox, and Rat Trap.
Rhinox, we've been anticipating since like 2008, literally, when they said, you know, they were brought this back. We want to do Rhinox as a Voyager.
Yeah.
Roadbuster and Whirl, I never thought I'd see.
Me neither.
Yeah. Not in this form, anyway.
And then Skybite. Even though the toy wound up being a little lackluster in some areas, he's still a fan favorite.
Yeah, I wonder why I left him off my list of favorites this year. I did mention Rat Trap.
I wonder why I didn't even notice that was missing when I looked at that list earlier.
Yeah, me too. Honestly, I wrote the list. I'm like, So let's see here. Combiner Wars, that's huge. That happened.
Literally.
We had more third-party Dinobots and Combiners than you can count. And let's see here. Lots of comic stuff this year. We had the launch and death of the Transformers MMO that we've been waiting for the longest time.
For four years.
Launch and very, very fast death.
That's okay. It's okay. We'll get into that more as we move along.
Yeah, so it's been a big year. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off and talk about just certain things. Like, we'll start off with the movie. We'll work through the news for the year and then repeat that process for everything else, just because, my God, there's so much to talk about. So back in January, we first started getting images of the Leader Class figures. Specifically Optimus Prime. That was pre-Toy Fair. That was pre-Toy Fair. That's weird.
Yeah, I seem to recall
XV. It was January.
Yeah, I seem to recall XV got like the preview edition like at right about when Toy Fair started.
Yeah, that was like the middle of February, and it was not even the actual Leader toy. It was like the bigger Platinum. The thing they would sell was the Silver Knight at Target as a Platinum.
First edition.
That's
true. So one thing, the thing that I thought was funniest that happened in January, it's not exactly around the movie, but you guys remember at CES when Michael Bay was asked to help announce that 105-inch TV from Samsung, and he just had like a breakdown on the screen. I remember that being like just the funniest thing, but now it's just kind of sad.
Well, like most things Michael Bay does. In the moment, it's hilarious, and when you look back, it's just, oh.
Yeah.
Well, if he was being paid for that, you would think he would be better prepared with the material. So
No. No, because, like, Michael Bay is not an in-front-of-the-camera person, typically. You know, he'll do interviews and stuff, but for something like that, he needs a handler to prepare him and, like, you know, get him through it, and he probably thinks he doesn't actually need one of those.
Pretty
he's
much.
Michael Bay.
Pretty much.
He just figures he's going to have some explosions go off behind him, a lens flare over his shoulder. He's going to look to his side, it'll be sunset, and it'll just all work.
So, back in January, we had some images of Transformers toys, but really the big news wouldn't hit until later on. I guess with the Super Bowl trailer that showed up in February, that was really the big news that for Transformers for Age of Extinction at that point, which was Optimus riding Grimlock, which was the biggest tease, like, ever. And
as it turns out, they gave away the whole end of the movie with that.
They gave away the best part of the movie, which happens like 4.5 hours into the movie.
It just feels that long, but yeah,
it really does.
That's the joke, Don. Thank you.
Yeah. But that was pretty much for me personally. That was the biggest bit through February. We got another teaser that appeared on Entertainment Tonight, which I actually had to watch Entertainment Tonight for that, which was kind of sad, and it really, I don't remember it being that great. But the posters for, you know, leading up to the movie also. Remember, you know, whenever something like this happens, we're just like at the edge of our seats waiting for any bit of news and tidbit. And like,
well,
after
I honestly could not have cared less the whole time.
I'm with Chris here. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't mind watching the movie when it came out because I did it as like a social thing. But the build up to like the whole news campaign up ahead of it, I don't care. It doesn't interest me.
Mm-hmm. I was excited because after Dark of the Moon, I was like, all right, you know, Dark of the Moon wasn't bad. You know, this could be really good. They're adding Dinobots, and it kind of went down from there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But, like, we were on the edge of our seats trying to get any bit of information, and ultimately it's just kind of anticlimactic because the best part of Transformers 4 Age of Extinction is sort of the build up for it. And I kind of hate to say that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, yeah, really was.
Well, the news campaign is the most engaging part of it, whether you care about it or not, because it's the most, like, you know, on any real level, it's the most interactive part, because every day you're out looking and finding new things, and ultimately at the end of it, you're just sitting there being bombarded with this 17-hour spectacle that once it washes over you, it's just over with, and you're wondering what happened to your life.
Pretty much. So, if I remember correctly, based on what I'm seeing, it looks like toys started showing up around April. The April timeline, including at first back in April, it looks like Voyager.
Oh yeah,
because
the Canadian Walmart started breaking street date,
and that was. And I remember going to Kmart to try to get that Grimlock, and they said no. And I'm like, well, you know, in 2 weeks when you're closed down, I'll come and buy it on clearance. And unfortunately, they're still open.
Did you actually say that?
No.
Aww.
I kind of hate myself for saying that because I really do love that store, but I was kind of ticked off that they wouldn't sell me the figure. but yeah, so those figures, I never actually ended up buying them out of spite. And that was the Evasion Mode Optimus Prime, which actually got a lot of people excited. My problem with it, you know, it has that very G1 vehicle mode, but the robot mode just still kind of sucks.
Super movie, yeah.
Yeah, super movie. But really though, by May, it was in full swing. Movie toys were out left and right. When did the movie actually come out? Was it June?
It was the end of June.
End of June. Yeah, so, gosh, was there anything that we were particularly excited about toy-wise in that time frame? I don't remember being... The deluxe Dinobots were something that I think that most of us were looking forward to, but
you know, I picked up Scorn, and that's a really cool toy. But like, As far as really strong anticipation for any particular toy for the movie, not really.
Yeah.
I was kind of looking forward to Lockdown and never wound up getting him.
Well, then you saw what Lockdown actually ended up looking like, too, and I don't think that really helped either.
Like, I never...
He looked okay, but he came out after the movie, by which point I no longer cared.
Lockdown suffers from the fact that they're packaging the robots in robot mode, except for the Dinobots. And he has a really crappy robot mode, and he would really sell in his vehicle mode, but...
He would sell in this vehicle mode where you can't see what he looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
I never even saw one in person, just to compound things.
My Walmart has like 15 of them right now.
Okay.
Yeah, like my Walmart is like, you know, full of them. Don, what about yours? Does yours have a big Transformers display right now?
Everything is a trash. It's hit or miss. Literally, it's just piled. Piles on the deck plate. Yeah, it's piles. Yeah.
So it's like every other day.
Yeah. It's every other day in toys.
My toy department's really well kept up. I'm pretty excited about that.
I think you have an exception there, Kilby.
Probably. So, by June, pretty much, it was entirely in overload. We were getting featurettes, we were getting toys, we were getting promotions.
You were getting drift from Dunkin' Donuts in Japan.
I know, isn't that cool?
Saturation.
I ended up seeing it in IMAX, and my first viewing.
Yeah, IMAX 3D. I saw that too.
My first viewing of it was I saw it three times.
First viewing.
I saw it three times.
Why?
I'm the host of freaking Radio Free Cybertron.
I think Paladin has seen it four times in theaters.
I saw it three times.
Yeah, but there's something wrong with him.
The first time it was at a really nice theater in their they call it Big D, which is their oversized screen, which is their fake IMAX, but it's not even IMAX. It's not the right format. It's just a big screen with much better sound. I think I saw it there twice. Then I saw it in IMAX 3D, and it really did look great in IMAX 3D.
The movie looked nice. It was like, you know, as far as you can take one of these, it was a pretty movie. You know, visually it was all polished, but you know, content wise, hello cat.
So, Don, for people listening and watching, Don's having some microphone issues, so if you see him touch his computer, you'll hear it. But what I'm hoping that his headset's messed up, too, so that Massey can hear us. Because I want to say, Massey, attack. Attack, Massey.
I'm sure he will. With how long this show's going to be, there's going to be at least one attack.
You know, it's a cat, so he won't take commands. Yeah. Well, you tell him to attack, he just won't out of spite because he's a cat.
Perhaps he'll take suggestions, though.
Maybe we can bribe him.
Bessie, would you like to attack Don right now? Doesn't that sound like a great idea?
But yeah, so pretty much by July, Transformers movie stuff had fizzled out. So up until, which we know in hindsight, the Hunger Games, whatever the hell this one is, that's in theaters now. Age of Extinction had the biggest opening weekend of the year in total gross, but certainly it did not win the year.
Yeah, I really like this progression of headlines we have in July. Transformers 4 Age of Extinction breaks records, surpassing $300 million worldwide opening weekend. Transformers 4 holds on to box office crown this week, but drops off 64%.
Yeah.
Transformers 5 movie release in 2016 may be rushed, says producer.
So Transformers 4, it made a lot of money, but it didn't make... it made a lot of money.
It made a lot of money quickly, but it didn't have the same staying power the previous ones did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But does that surprise you?
A little bit.
Really. It wasn't a failure by any
means. Before.
It was not a failure, like XV said, but it was a down
year. Not by any means.
It was a down year. So I figured that a movie, you know, any movie that had any traction would hang around longer than it did.
It was a down year, and also there was a lot more competition in the release window than has usually been the case.
Yeah.
Because they took an extra year to get Age of Extinction out, they broke their cycle and they lost their sweet spot between major releases.
So Age of Extinction came in fifth overall in 2014 as far as domestic grosses within the U.S., Kind of surprised by that. I expected it to be third, but...
what were the other four, out of curiosity?
Guardians of the Galaxy, Hunger Games, Captain America, and the Lego Movie.
Okay, works. Okay, so see, you know, yeah, I mean, it could have come in third behind Guardians of the Galaxy and Lego, but wasn't Captain America Winter Soldier in one of the top spots anyway?
Yeah, it was the top spot until Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a heavy Marvel year this year, and, you know, Transformers did not have a chance to, like, grip on and hold like it usually does.
So, let's see here, I'm checking one of my favorite websites, which is Box Office Mojo.
And Marvel's better at doing movies with characters you don't want to punch, so...
That's true.
Unless the whole point is to want to punch them.
Yes, yeah. They do it on purpose. Yeah.
Basically, Transformers 4 got hammered by Marvel.
That's not your best pun, Don.
No.
No, I mean, if it was a Thor year, yes.
Yeah.
That would be valid. You know, really wasn't, though.
So, let's see, Revenge of the Fallen...
Even if they had done the Beta Ray Bill movie this year...
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm waiting for
that. Then it would qualify.
I'm hoping these Netflix movies are popular. I might get a Thunderstrike series in two or three decades.
Let's see.
At least you have realistic expectations.
Oh, holy crap. So, Age of Extinction. I didn't even realize this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Box office. Transformers, 2007. This is not adjusted for inflation. $319 million. Revenge of the Fallen, $402 million. Dark of the Moon, $352 million. Age of Extinction, $245 million.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think we knew that earlier this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was...
But,
it still technically
qualified as a success because the budget wasn't as high as most movies.
And it made a ton of money in China, which...
Yes, right. Yeah, I mean, that kind of made up the balance.
Oh, it more than made up the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it is the highest grossing movie in China's history now.
Which is impressive, since being a foreign movie, it was only allowed to run for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe it's a release window of, what, 30 days for movies not made entirely in China?
I was thinking it was actually 3 weeks.
That's amazing.
It's definitely one of those.
Yeah, I believe it had a 3-week window in China because they have a law. If the movie is not predominantly Chinese produced, it can only run for a fixed time.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. Let's see here. So while we're not getting into new news so much, I do want to mention, though, as far as the movies go, that looks like Marky Mark, Mark Wahlberg, has signed on for 2 more Transformers movies.
Yay.
So there you go.
Great. Science!
And he said because of Michael Bay, right? Who apparently has...
Well, he made reference to Michael Bay. He didn't necessarily attribute his signing on to Michael Bay's presence. It's an ambiguous statement, and really, though, if you believe Michael Bay wasn't coming back for another one, you haven't learned anything over the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't direct, he could still produce.
Like, yeah. He will produce, I'm certain.
Michael Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Look how great that was.
Can I just say, since we were on the subject of Mark Wahlberg for a second, how stupid it is to have a movie where Optimus Prime's closing monologue includes the phrase, "There are things we weren't meant to know," with a main character who is supposedly an inventor. Though, you know, to be fair, I believe he is an inventor just as much as I believe that Nicole Kidman was a brilliant psychiatrist in a Batman movie.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, God. Such a terrible movie. Oh, let's see.
Sorry, didn't see it in time for the commentary. Wanted to get that out there.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Now, terrible movie, Brian. Do you mean Age of Extinction or Tim Burton's Batman?
That wasn't a Tim Burton. That was Joel Schumacher.
That was Joel
Schumacher. Batman Forever.
Oh, okay. I got my...
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't remember whether it was Forever or and Robin, because they kind of blend together for me.
No, I've never actually seen Batman and Robin, so...
Don't.
I saw Batman Forever in theaters. Val Kilmer could have been the best Batman. He just wasn't the best Bruce Wayne. That was Michael Keaton. So, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back here in just a second.
You're watching a bunch of adults freak out over toys.
And now, from a restaurant near you, Wendy's presents a mighty GoBot offer for your kids. Mighty GoBots have come to Wendy's. 6 special edition GoBots, 99 cents each with any purchase. robots disguised as mighty vehicles. Your kids can pretend they're from Gobotron, but you can only get them at Wendy's. A different Gobot each week, 99 cents each.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
So we are back. We're going to talk about comics now, and to be completely honest, the only ones obviously that are current are XV and Rob, who are reviewing those for T-Formers, and they're doing a great job. I might be back for the whole year, except for Transformers versus G.I. Joe and Angry Birds. But Melvar is also mostly current, too. So, guys, go ahead.
Well, Regeneration 1 ended this year.
Yep.
And I can't really find... Yeah, I think Melvar with his fist pumps really says it all there. I can't find a thing to complain about in that it ended.
Yeah.
Perhaps that was, the way it ended.
Yeah, it was at least not what we expected, which is nice.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just... I really wish that had been paced a lot more tightly.
Like, the last story arc really had the story pacing that the whole thing needed.
Yeah.
Because there was more urgency to that. Like, there was more story element than there was actually issues to cover, and it actually made it work more strongly, I thought. We tag-teamed the review for issue 100, and we basically came to the same conclusion that this is a lot of rehash. This could have been done 15 issues ago.
Yeah, and like you said, the way the pacing picks up, it's almost a thing of you picture them going, how many issues do we have left? Oh, crap, let's kick it into high gear.
Yeah, everything up until the final arc seemed like filler.
Yeah.
You know, I to be honest, I don't think Furman could quite figure out whether he was writing for the individual issue or writing for the trade and kind of went somewhere in between that didn't quite work as well as I wish it did.
Right, the way he wrote, it didn't service either of them properly.
Yeah.
Well, Melvar, I'm sure you were through Dark Cybertron by this point.
Yes.
And that sure was a thing that happened.
That's another
sure
one that
a series
really,
of comics, yes.
Yeah. That's another one that really picked up in the final, like, quarter.
I think starting from the second half, which was the portion of what we actually got in 2014, it really strengthened from there going forward. But, I mean, it was a really difficult build-up to that point for me.
Yeah.
The first six issues between the three titles we had going, it really felt like this was just going to peter out and become a complete disaster, but it really turned around after the halfway point. I actually really got pretty satisfied with what it turned into. It's just, looking back on it at the whole... As it was going on, it felt good to get that stronger approach in the second half, but just, yeah, as a whole thing, it really feels like this could have been handled so much better. But given it was the first major event crossover for this creative team on the Transformers titles, I guess it's kind of understandable.
Yeah. You know, I get the impression that they kind of confer with each other, but you know, that was the first time they'd actually written together. So.
Possibly. The other thing with it also is the, you know, rapidly shifting art styles as they went through fill-in artists to get this produced alongside the main book so it'd be ready for toy packaging.
It was a little jarring every time they went into the Dead Universe storyline.
Well, it's usually jarring when they have Ramondelli come back.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean, yeah, I think the three of us can kind of agree on how we feel about Livio Ramondelli's art. But, I mean, did you have any favorites in the unusual artists we had through the crossover?
No. I'm not a comic reviewer, I'm sorry.
You don't have to be a reviewer. It's just, like, anybody's art, like, stand out and appeal?
Not really.
Okay.
I hope I'm putting the right name to the right style here, but I kind, you know, James Ray's style is really, I'm not sure if I like it for these characters, but I like it. It's, you know, doing the more the meets the eye characters, it just, it's a little bit too harsh and too detailed for them, I think. But I would like to see him do something else again.
And, you know, like we were talking about, the story improved as the whole thing went along. James's art also backed down a little bit, so it wasn't as harsh as it started out.
Mm-hmm.
And it started working a little better for it. I really liked Robert Gill, who only actually got to do like one full issue's worth of content for the crossover. But he's got a really good style and had a really good grasp of like the mechanics of making the scenes work. And it was really, really nice art. And I would like to see him get more chance to do something in the Transformers books.
Yeah. I mean, when you get down to it, just overall, I think right now IDW has the best stable of Transformers artists we've ever seen. I kind of wish they
absolutely.
Would. I kind of wish they would emphasize some more than the ones that they do.
Yeah.
In certain cases, which we'll get to in a little bit, but overall, overall, they are doing great.
Okay, so Rob, I'm going to hand over to you now for Transformers versus G.I. Joe, because obviously this is more your stable here, and Kilby may end up chiming in too.
It's good.
It is really good. There's really not too much more you can say about it without going into way too much detail, but it's, you know, it's insane in the best possible way. It's, you know, Fort Max likes to talk about the, you know, about the 80s Toku being on cat drugs. This is Jack Kirby cat drugs Transformers.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a great way of putting it. It's really creative. That's what I think I like the best about it.
Yes.
So, like, the book doesn't necessarily appeal to me personally, but I really admire that they have a strong idea of what they want to make this book be, and they're doing it every month, and nobody's really stopping them.
It just really goes back to how IDW, for the most part, is knocking it out of the park, because they are really... I mean, they're just letting their creators make good books, and that's just... Most comic publishers don't do that.
No, I cannot imagine any other publisher or any other franchise letting Tom Scioli get away with what he gets away with in this book. He's said in one interview that he has started to get a few more notes from Hasbro, which is in a way is kind of a shame, but I don't think he's going to let it hamper him. You know, like I said in my first review, that the most admirable thing about this book is that someone is being this weird on purpose, and they got Hasbro and IDW to sign off on it.
Just in a general sense, like, every time they've talked to, like, fan media, the IDW people are always, like, they really praise Hasbro for how accommodating they are for the things they want to do, and they rarely have more than just like the bare minimum of directives with the characters, and that's more a matter of, we want these characters in books, but it's basically up to you how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hasbro is interested. They know what IDW can produce for them if given the chance, and they're giving them that chance. That's a key part of like the partnership between them.
Yeah, it's definitely a much more involved and, I would say, fruitful partnership than Hasbro had even with Marvel back in the old days.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I think one really great evidence of that is the Windblade comic.
Yes.
Which is probably the single best Transformers title that came out this year.
I would agree with that.
And beautiful, beautiful artwork.
Yes. And that's the thing, that's kind of the point with this transition. Margaret Scott, the writer, discovered Sarah Stone through her fan art. And when she pulled this job, she brought Sarah Stone on because she saw what she could do, and she wanted that in the book she was working on. And, I mean, it's just amazing that that could happen that way, and we could get this book produced this way. And it is so – it is the most beautiful art in a Transformers book. It's not like anything else we've ever seen in official Transformers publications.
Yeah. There's really not too much I can add to that.
Yeah. The story for Windblade was it's like a formula story, but it was written well. And, you know, I don't think there's any problem using a standing story type if you're working strongly within that.
I agree.
You know, it makes it so, especially in the miniseries, you know exactly what you're doing, where you're going, and that you can get all that accomplished in the time you have. You're not having to rush around in the last couple issues to tie everything up, such as for Generation 1. Mm-hmm. So, Windblade just as a unit is like the strongest thing I think came out of IDW this year.
Yeah.
Then on the other end of the spectrum...
then there was Transformers Primacy, which, you know, I will not make it a secret that I really... I'm not fond of Livio Remondelli as an artist, and the I've seen things where he is capable of really of decent work, of good work, and the shortcuts he takes to do what he does really undercuts that possibility. The one thing that I really got most tired of throughout Primacy was him seeming. I know he must understand, but he doesn't seem to care where light comes from. So we just use Photoshop filters to give the whatever tone the scene supposedly needs. And so we get very dark and muddy artwork that it is very difficult to make out. And I'd really kind of like to see what it looks like on paper, because I've only seen it on a very brightly lit monitor, and it's still hard to make stuff out.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Livio's coming back for half of the Combiner Wars storyline in 2015.
Yeah, but the other half is Sarah Stone, so it does balance out. And
it does. It very much does.
And speaking of which, with Primacy, two last things about that. One, I hope if you bought it, you got the Sarah Stone covers, because that is the only reason to. Two, the most unforgivable scene in the entire book is the stupidest scene in the entire book is in the last chapter where Megatron has masterminded this acid rain attack to weaken all the Autobots, and the Autobots are protected, but he sends his own flyers into it and they crash from the acid rain damage. Even though it was his plan and he should have known it was happening and he did it on purpose, he sent his people into it and they crashed. I mean...
Yeah.
It's important to note here that one of the writers from the book, Flint Dilley, did work on the G1 cartoon, and that is a very G1 Megatron plan.
Yeah, it is. The only way you could get more is if there was flame retardant foam worked in there somewhere.
Actually, I have to point out that in the G1 episode, the Rainmakers did not fly into their own acid rain.
No, they didn't. No. They flew above the clouds like they're supposed to. So I'm gonna bump this last bullet point we have here, because we got a couple more things. Rob, Angry Birds.
Angry Birds so far is fun. It's a Saturday morning cartoon, and it does pretty much everything it really needs to. The first issue was notable because, despite Livio Remondelli, they had a kind of modified G1 cast with people who were not there in the original cartoon who, have shown up since elsewhere, of course, movie year, so they had Drift and Grimlock. And it's just an interesting mix, and I would kind of like to see a Transformers Today kind of comic done in the G1 style with that cast. That would be neat.
It sounds interesting, that aspect of it.
Yeah, that was kind of neat. And like I said, the comic itself, the Angry Birds Transformers part, it has a decent sense of humor. It does try and keep the adult audience, engaged. But mostly it's a Saturday morning cartoon, and it's written at that level. And considering it's John Barber doing the writing here, partnering with Tom Scioli on Transformers vs. G.I. Joe, and of course working on Robots in Disguise, it does show his versatility.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he definitely can... get himself around and do different kinds of work within the same framework.
Yeah.
He's got a range on him, and, you know, his talent has always been, like, tying continuity together, but he can also write really strong while he's doing that.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to bring up before we go to the final bullet point here is the Drift miniseries under Shane McCarthy, which is mildly regrettable.
I have not read the first two issues yet.
Oh, I envy you. So, like, I found the first issue to be a little bit light on story, but that can kind of be the case in a miniseries where you're using the first issue to introduce the setting and the characters. I can look past that. The second issue had the same amount or less of story. And it basically summed up all in one page everything that's wrong with the portrayal of Gigatron in this miniseries, which is basically that he is exactly Car Robot's Gigatron. So he's the completely ineffectual, half-asleep leader who basically cannot, will not do anything himself and just has his lieutenants handle everything and is mildly disconnected from reality.
Yeah.
But basically, yeah, it's, you know, it's halfway in and I barely sense a story happening. On the other hand, it's got Guido and the rest of the team from the second half of Regeneration 1 doing the art, and I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, Guido and Stephen Baskerville, to be specific, and John Paul Bove on colors. So, mm-hmm. It's a nice-looking book. Just, you know.
Yeah, it's a team that works well together. I've seen some people question why this needs to look like Regeneration 1 did, but when Guido took over doing the line work on Regeneration 1, the art quality of the book stepped up a couple notches, and I'm not really going to complain about having that same kind of production quality on this, style aside.
Yeah. Style-wise, I think that's, at this point, more or less a function of Stephen Baskerville's inking, but I could be wrong.
No,
Guido,
I mean,
can work in just about any style, so...
Right. And Guido's trying to adapt to the more the meets the eye character models and is doing very well in that. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of the Regeneration 1 specific visual style is in the inking and the coloring, which is the same exactly as it was with the second half of Regeneration. Actually, the whole Regeneration 1, because the inker and colorist did work all the way through on that book.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least visually, the book has strengths, and maybe it'll pick up in the second half. We'll find out next year.
Yes, though, as you pointed out before, the solicitations do not exactly encourage optimism.
Yeah, especially when they may or may not have accidentally reprinted one of the solicitations for a future issue.
I hope it was an accident.
Hopefully, yeah.
I hope there's not that little story, but I guess we'll find out soon.
So, the big thing this year, because of another Robots in Disguise that's coming up, is the Robots in Disguise title has become just the Transformers, giving us a second The Transformers ongoing. Although, fortunately, its numbering picked up after the previous The Transformers ongoing left off. So, at least there's not, like, The Transformers 28 from what year?
That's still going to be hell for people trawling back issue bins in the future.
Oh yes, I have no doubt of that.
Because the numbering isn't that far off.
No, it's only It's only a few digits removed.
Yeah.
I believe the previous ongoing left off at 31. I think we had a conversation about that last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And this made the title change at 35, I think. So there is just a 4-issue gap in that, which, like Rob points out, could be very confusing for back issue people later on.
Mm-hmm.
But since the end of Dark Cybertron, Robots in Disguise, or the Transformers, has basically been Transformers Prowl.
Yes.
With a somewhat disappointing return to Earth, and maybe the story is getting ready to go somewhere as it leads into Combiner Wars. I'm not super convinced, but I'm just having flashbacks to the first year or so of Robots in Disguise, where Prowl got really interesting, and then they hand-waved it away as mind control. And I'm just hoping that, since Prowl's getting interesting on some levels again, they don't find some way to just say, oh no, it's not his fault.
Yeah, which since they've been hinting at problems resulting from his combining with the Constructicons, kind of strikes me as a thing they're going to do.
Yeah,
just like, besides, you know, hitting a reset button on Prowl's characterization, I'm just disappointed if they do the same thing twice, you know, in... Okay, because basically with Dark Cybertron, we got, like, 15 issues of Robots in Disguise that were doing its own thing. Then everything serviced Dark Cybertron. Now we're back to Robots in Disguise doing its own thing. Basically, the two continuous storylines where it's not serving a crossover, it's playing the same game twice in a row. And yeah. I'm not cool with them doing that like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'm very wrong in this, but, you know, obviously I'm not the only one who's seeing those clues being written out either.
Do you wonder if John Barber is trying to work towards a specific story he wants to tell with Prowl, and then he keeps having to, like, backpedal to get things set up for the next event?
In a way, that's what I feel like is going on. I'm not sure if that's actually the case. I also wondered if, you know, he got so far along the first time and Hasbro said, we really don't want you doing this with, like, a major character, a major hero character. So he wrote the out for himself, and now he's trying to do again in a more, like, in a less, like, sledgehammer way, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe now is being stopped by the event coming up, or, you know, he's just having to tread really carefully to actually tell the story he wants to with Prowl and not get somebody stopping him again.
And, how far does he have the story planned out, and then Hasbro comes in and says, well, we need you to promote these combiners?
And that's kind of the problem with the Robots in Disguise title, is that, like, More Than Meets the Eye is getting to basically do its own thing and tie in at its leisure. Robots in Disguise is being looked at more like the main title, and when there's a toy promotion that needs to happen, that's where it goes. It's also easier to do it there because it's not the book that's isolated from, you know, the pool of Transformers characters in the universe. So it's easier to get characters in there. With Dark Cybertron, we got the character introductions on both sides, but the circumstances were a little different. So yeah, I mean, there is definitely more of a... He's more at the mercy of what Hasbro wants to do at any given moment, even though they are fairly hands-off on how the books are being handled.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that James Roberts took advantage of there being a new creative team to be the other part of the next crossover, since we're going to be getting Margaret Scott and Sarah Stone back for the half of Combiner Wars that is not John Barber and Livio Ramondelli. And he just found a way to set his set of characters more apart and keep them out of the way, which, considering one of them is Megatron, is pretty impressive.
Well, and I think the thing, too, is when these crossovers come up, you know, they sit down their creatives and basically work out, okay, who needs to be involved in this? And, you know, they figured out, okay, we don't need to have you working on this, James. You can just keep go doing your own thing. We'll handle this for 6 issues. Mm-hmm. And my train of thought kind of just evaporated. But basically, like, editorial is just, it's letting More Than Meets the Eye just stay by itself and carry on its storyline instead of interrupting everything that's going on to serve the event they want to do. And yeah, that's, I think that's a smart move. But yeah, I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic for Robots in Disguise. One of the most recent issues had a scene at the start that I really liked, just from a character interaction point of view. It reminded me somewhat, at least hints of what Robots in Disguise was in the first year. And I'd really like to see, maybe after Combiner Wars, things move back in that direction, like pick up some of these threads that have been put down and, you know, let us see more storytelling like that, but maybe from the other side, because this is more Decepticon focused, what happened recently.
Yeah, so you're thinking perhaps after Combiner Wars we'll see the Decepticon colony Soundwave was talking about and have a robot politics story from that perspective.
Or at least something in that general direction. That one scene provided so much potential for what this book could become and what it could focus on for a while. And it reminded me of when I thought this book was really, really strongly written and had a really unique thing that it wanted to tell. And I want to see it get back to that. That's like my cautious optimism going forward from here.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's more than meets the eye, which is more than meets the eye. And
yeah,
anybody who has any familiarity with the book basically knows what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. And if you're not reading More Than Meets the Eye, go read More Than Meets the Eye. There's 3 years worth of it, and basically all that's worth reading.
It's available in convenient trade paperback form.
Mm-hmm. Is the sale on Comixology still on? Probably won't be when this is posted. So
I'm not sure, but like they do sales like that pretty frequently. So I mean, just keep an eye on Comixology. You can usually get one or two of the trades for just a few dollars.
Mm-hmm. But I just want to go ahead. I just want to say in specific that, for one thing, I think this is the best characterization we've gotten for Megatron in forever.
Well, it's new characterization.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the thing. It's new characterization, but it does not like discard what Megatron has done before.
Yeah.
You know, it takes what Megatron has been in IDW and evolved it in a new direction, and it's really interesting. I mean, you know, there's points where Megatron's being written in such a way that you just, like, without even realizing it, feel sympathetic to the character, even though, you know, 6 months ago he was the most evil character in the universe.
And you can still see how he could easily be that again.
Yeah, because, like, that's the strength of how James Roberts is writing him, where he's not fundamentally changing who Megatron is. Megatron's thought process is very clear and is still consistent with how he was. He is consciously trying to work past that and be something different and not bring, you know, all of the Cybertronian people back into a state of unending war, because that's all he knows how to do naturally.
Yeah.
He is fighting every instinct he has, but some of the old Megatron still comes through in a very natural way. I really like how Megatron's being handled in this. I was really wondering how this was going to turn out after the end of Dark Cybertron, and it's been really interesting.
Yeah. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised, because, I mean, in the first season with Whirl and Cyclonus, James Roberts has a knack for making bastards likable.
Yes. Well, so, ever since I realized that Whirl had the voice of Bender from Futurama, there was no way to not like him.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, I know I'm not reading the book, and I know I'm supposed to all that, but also Chris McFeely is doing some audio work with Audio Nice Theater as well.
Uh-huh, that's right, and we had, yes, like that stemmed out of that one dramatic reading he did of a scene from a recent issue where he nailed the Corey Burton Megatron voice and didn't do a half bad Ravage either.
Yeah, so that's definitely that started a little bit later on in the year, but the catalyst for that was in these earlier issues that y'all were talking about.
And it's cool that Audio Nice Theater is doing what they're doing. I was shocked that they were able to get David Kaye.
Yeah,
I know, that was amazing.
That's pretty hardcore. That's that, you know. Kudos to those guys.
One thing I'll give voice actors is that they seem to really love their work.
Especially David Kaye, I'm certain, is worth working for zilch in that respect. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, David Kaye said, shows that, you know, he just loves doing these voices because he knows how much they mean to the fans. So if he gets a chance to do the voice of, you know, an Optimus or a Megatron or even a tertiary character, because he just loves fandom so much.
That's great. The fandom loves David Kaye.
Okay, so, I mean, that's basically all I have for this year's comics. Rob, Melvar, Kilby, anybody, any more thoughts on what we've had from IDW this year? I think it's been a really good year.
I need to catch up so bad. I have purchased every single IDW comic this year, except for Primacy. And I have...
Good call.
And I just need to go and catch up. Like, I'm really looking forward to it, but I'm so far back. It's just such a daunting task. I'm basically reading what I can read that's not in continuity, like Angry Birds and G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. And but I'm really loving G.I. Joe.
Well, probably the only thing we can bring up about comics is if you buy Generation
1. No, we don't want to bring Regeneration 1 back, Don.
No, I wasn't. that's not what I was going to say. What I was going to say is if you're a big IDW fan, you're wanting to read the issues, don't use the ones coming with the Generation figures, because some of them are very, very wrong.
Yeah, like, I just opened Chromia the other day, and her copy of Dark Cybertron issue 11 has the same page printed twice on the back of itself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How is that?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, you know, you read the page, then you turn the page, and on the other side of it is the same page again.
What?
Yep.
Like, I don't know how
they managed to do that in printing, but they did.
As a kid, I had a misprinted Find Your Fate Junior book. I could never find my fate, and it drove me crazy.
and also,
that
there's
a pattern for your life, didn't it?
It did.
And for example, I believe it was Rat Trap's comic where he wasn't even in the book.
Well, that's not like a printing error. That was just the way the issues fell for the packets.
I believe Skywarp only showed up in one frame
in
of his,
background.
And he was teleporting. Yes,
Chromia's got the same deal. She's in one panel in the entire comic. She's packed with, and she's the smallest element in that panel.
Like,
and does not speak.
For most of the Dark Cybertron pack-in run, printing errors aside, you know, the character focus, or at least feature, kind of lines up with who it's packed with, but there's also a few where, just by necessity, it can't.
Yeah.
And there may seem to be better choices, but then, you know, you basically flip the situation around, and you might end up with more characters getting a comic where they're not in it at all, or in any meaningful way. The bigger problem is the printing errors, and there's quite a few of those in the second half of the print run. Yeah.
And I was just saying, you know, if you're not an IDW person, don't use those as a judge for the series in general.
I agree. That is a very good point, yes. Don. Thank you.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and, I guess, take a break, and we'll be back. God, I'm just so caffeinated out now. I'm drinking my third-party Red Bull. I'm like on my 32nd ounce of it.
Third-party Red Bull.
Yeah, so I am just, blah, blah, blah. We've got a lot left to go, so by the time we're done, I'm going to be like,
will be crawling the walls, literally.
I'll be puking up caffeine, so it'll be great. So let's
see. By the time we're done, you'll be a splatter against your back wall.
Pretty much. We'll be right back.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Hey, this is Brian. I want to welcome back a sponsor to RSC this week, and that is Audible.com. Audible is the internet's premier source of audiobooks. I've been a member of Audible now for about 6 years. What's great about Audible is it helps keep me current. I don't have time to sit down and read. I work, about an hour away, one way, from home, so I have a two-hour commute. So basically, I don't have a lot of time. Plus all the other side projects that I have going on, it's just really hard for me to sit down and read. But what Audible lets me do is stay current on, all the fiction out there that my friends are reading. Books actually tend to come out on Audible in audiobook form, same time that they come out in the bookstore, which is pretty cool. I'm more of a nonfiction guy, though, so I like reading things like biographies and history, and I do a lot of lectures, and you can find all of those at Audible. So if you're like me and you don't have a lot of time, Audible really helps out with that. You can actually get a free audiobook of your choice. It's free. You get to keep it forever. You don't even have to sign up as a member. It's a trial. It's free. One audiobook, your choice. Get to keep it forever. Audibletrial.com/RSC. I wanted to share with you the book that I just found that I'm going to buy. So I just found the novelization of Pacific Rim. I loved Pacific Rim. I was just digging, looking for something earlier today, and I came across this, and I'm totally going to snag this. The cool thing about Audible is you get to actually listen to a sample of the book before you buy it.
Leatherback surged through the shallows as Gypsy Danger got to her feet and met the kaiju right at the edge of the pier, grinding and snapping pieces of Gypsy Danger's fuselage away. Jaeger and Kaiju crashed up onto dry land and straight through more piles of shipping containers, scattering them like Lego blocks.
That's pretty cool. I'm more of a nonfiction guy, but I love Pacific Rim, and the novelization on this looks pretty cool. So you can get this for free if you want it. Go to audibletrial.com/RFC. You're not limited to this. You can grab a lecture from the great courses. They also have, goodness, like I said, most any novel that comes out today comes out in audiobook form as well. So if you're, like, into, like, The Hunger Games, you can find that there. or what's that show that everybody watches that on HBO? Game of Thrones. That's on there. I've actually never sat down and read or listened to that, so I think I may try that out. Audibletrial.com/RFC. No commitments. You get a free audiobook of your choice. It helps us out. Just do it. It's a no-brainer.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
Okay, we are back. And guess what? We're going to talk about toys. That's what we're here for.
My favorite.
I do love me some toys. Let's see here.
Okay, for the most part, toys is why I'm here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. me too.
Yeah,
I used to be a fiction guy. Then I became a toy guy. Then I just disappeared, and I came back a toy guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with like we just talked about the IDW stuff. With that, it's really hard to not like focus heavily on the fiction side of things for what we have right now. But the toys are always going to be what's bringing me back.
Yeah, me too. For example, like I ran into didn't personally run into him as on a conversation on Facebook. My sister-in-law had told someone that I was a fan and collector, so he had friended me because he's trying to figure out places to buy G1 Transformers. And he said, and I quote, "It's like a crack addiction." And I don't know if he borrowed that from someone else, because that's a pretty common way to describe it. But it's true.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'd like to think that I'm past that, but I'm not.
No.
Well, remember what Gary Chalk
crack.
Said.
Yeah, Transformers, yeah, exactly. They're better than crack. It's awesome. It's true. So so earlier on in the year, around January, we first got images, reveal basically, of Jaxxas, Nightbeat, and Windblade. And we knew that Windblade was coming because Windblade was the Voda figure from the year before. Mm-hmm. But we actually got a shot of that figure. And I think I was pretty excited about Nightbeat specifically, because, of course, it was using, the jazz mold.
Well, originally.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We got, let's see here, the photo right here.
The little thumbnail-sized photo, which is all we ever got of
which
it.
Which is all we ever got.
And the cover to Nate Beat's comic.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's a little different.
Little.
Yeah, then, of course, it came out with Goldfire, Bumblebee, that mold. It's okay, I guess.
It's okay. I mean, like,
it's a better fit for the character than the jazz mold is. Yeah, it's but it's true. Not a better toy.
For vehicle mode, the jazz mold makes more sense because Nightbeat was a Porsche. But it doesn't. There's no similarity. At least the robot mode of the Goldfire figure kind of follows form with Nightbeat more than the jazz mold would have.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can't. Say I'm not disappointed to have missed out on a chance to have another version of the jazz mold, because I love that mold.
Yes. It's like your favorite, pretty much.
Pretty much, yes.
it's sort of amazing when that mold came out. I didn't care for it because of just the lack of paint on it from the Hasbro version, really.
That's the best one.
My favorite specific instance. Because it's jazz, and it's orange, and it makes no sense.
And it has a slingshot.
But the head is awesome.
Mm-hmm. The head is really great, and we're talking about a toy that came out in 2012, and we should probably move on.
Yeah, that's true. So we also learned about Chromian RC, and we all thought pretty much that we were being trolled.
That
Don was being trolled. But of course, Don had that secret in his pocket that Hasbro had told him at BotCon the year before that he...
Well, I just asked them, with Generations being so successful, why was she not considered that year? Yes, hello.
This is like the
quintessential Don segment.
Yeah.
For our listening audience rather than our viewing audience, Don's cat has just joined the call again.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, quintessential Don segment. He's talking about RC, and Massey is here.
Massey's jealous, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think so.
And they just said, give us a year and a half and you'll be amazed. And it was back a year and a half, and then boom.
Yeah, there you go.
And you know what? I'm amazed.
And a year later, you still don't have them, Don.
She's on her way.
I
that shows you how far in advance some of the stuff is planned out.
We've known for a long time that, you know, 18 to 24 months is the typical turnaround time for a Transformers design. So when they were talking to Don about that, they had like CAD designed and it was going to Takara for transformation engineering. Mm-hmm. That would have been about where they were at based on the release window.
Well, heck, John and Carl knew they were getting the RC from the Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia 2 years out from when it was actually at show.
Yeah, which makes sense since they're mm-hmm. the ones who are the, you know.
Yeah.
So, at that point, though, when we first found out about RC, we actually thought it might have somehow been a headmaster, maybe possibly hoping. Now that we know after the fact what the scale of these generations figures are like, specifically with Brainstorm, no, wouldn't work in this the Lux size. But actually, now that I have RC, scale this bad boy up to Voyager size, which is what they could do, and we might get a Headmaster RC for Don.
No, but I mean, it's like I was saying when we talked about Brainstorm, you know, if as long as you're willing to accept the head being a little bit bigger in proportion to the body, you could get a Headmaster to work on this toy.
Yeah. Well, you know,
and it would not look ridiculous.
True, that's true.
I think after I do finally get RC, my next thing will be hoping out for a Masterpiece RC. Just the next logical step.
You are just never going to be satisfied, are you?
No.
Well, I mean, So Masterpiece RC comes out. What does he have to look forward to after that? He has to be satisfied at that point, unless it turns out like Rodimus. In which case, his thing will be, well, another Masterpiece RC.
Yeah.
I still enjoy my Rodimus as much. I haven't had any issues with mine, and I only transformed
it
once.
If I had no issues with it, I would still be disappointed with it.
Ah, well, you just answered your own question, Diecast. You only transformed it once.
Mm-hmm. How do you have to transform it and stuff falls off?
Actually, I haven't even transformed mine yet.
Yeah. What, Rob?
Does anybody else remember back in January when we first heard about RC and Chromia and they were pretty much solicited as being part of the same wave, and we were all saying, no way that could be right?
I know.
Yeah. That's because we were assuming Chromia would be a recolor of RC.
Yeah.
Instead, it was still a recolor of RC, but not the same one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty interesting. So, let's see here. Also, earlier in the year, we got images of G2 Sideswipe, which we'd heard about last year. It was when Rob and I were in Florida, which had been August or so?
No, that was June.
June, okay. We got photos of that. It was the best thing ever. It's still pretty great. But
I gotta get one of those.
It still had yet to come out. You can get the KO version of it. And the
upgrade weapon set from Dr. Wu that has the bandolier.
I haven't. I'd never picked that up. I needed to. And there was also an announcement of a blue version of Master. Actually, no, it wasn't even a blue version. It was the Masterpiece Blue Streak exclusive version, which ended up being silver.
Right. It was silver streak.
Yeah, silver
streak. We all thought it was going to be blue and were horribly disappointed.
Yeah.
Now there's still supposedly a online store trying to get that done in blue as an exclusive, last I heard, but that was several months ago.
Yeah, I don't know anything about
it. Good luck with that.
And we learned that Prowl may be coming to Toys R Us as an exclusive. Spoiler, it did.
And it was overpriced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still is.
So in February, Toy Fair happened. And the floodgates came open.
As it does.
Yeah. Gosh. Diecast was there. Got to see all sorts of awesome stuff. We learned about Brainstorm. We learned about
Jetfire.
Jetfire is a huge surprise. For me. Actually, or did we know about Jetfire? There was something that we had a hint on.
It hinted, I think it went like a day or two before Toy Fair. They had photos of it for their stock earnings meeting or something.
That PowerPoint document.
Yeah.
But man, there's quite a few things that we learned about. Roadbuster, we learned about it. Toy Fair, right?
Mm-hmm. Roadbuster, Skybite, a lot of the movie toys. It was the first time we saw them.
Oh yeah, usually and, on a movie year that'll happen.
And there's that presentation that you were able to get a recording of, where they were talking about the different play patterns and how Generations was going to be the home of the deluxe sized, more collector oriented figures around the movie. kind of disappointing by that, but you know, it really didn't end up being that bad.
Yeah, it didn't scuttle the non-movie generations, which is pretty much what happened to generations in movie years previous.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if you recall,
can't really complain.
If you recall back in February when we were talking about all this to begin with, you know, we were speculating, okay, they're calling the movie stuff generations so that these stores keep having generations active in the system so they can still put out the classic stuff at the same time so it doesn't force them to abandon our classics toys at the same time they're doing movie. Yeah. And we called it. I mean, we were spot on with that.
But I think it was almost all that was almost undone, and this is my opinion, by the uniform trade dress that was a little too uniform.
Yeah,
that was
I
not
agree.
Good. No.
Yeah,
yeah, that was just a big problem with stuff.
It's confusing because you look at a toy and it's like, is this the Voyager version or is this the yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you've got all these power action battlers just clogging the shelves, and then getting the regular deluxe generations out there. It's like, oh, you've already got all these. No, it's not the same thing, but the trade dress makes you think it is.
And the biggest problem with that is that Walmart cross-referenced the Power Battlers with the Deluxes. So, you know, even though, but yeah, I mean, they're in the wrong pegs technically, but in the inventory system, it's all one thing. So as long as those Power Battlers are there, they can't get more movie generations toys.
Sad trombone.
Pretty much.
Although the movie generations toys weren't really... I don't know, they didn't do anything for me. I'm kind of glad Generations is its own line now, and they're going to continue it through the movie, because there's one line I can focus on, and then I can pick up bits and pieces of other lines as I choose.
It's pretty much all I'm buying. Yeah. Like, well, actually, until Red comes out, then I'm going to buy all that, because it's awesome.
And the thing is, too, like, they made this movie line a lot smaller than any of the previous ones. You know, it had I think three full waves and a revision partway through, and that was it.
Yeah, you know, there was a Leader Prime, but there was a Leader Prime and a Leader Grimlock, but that was pretty much it for the larger figure.
And it's not shelf warming like Age of Extinction. I mean, Dark of the Moon Dead. So,
well, I mean, some of the Age of Extinction stuff is shelf warming,
but it's not as bad. Yeah, it's not as bad.
Power Battlers are still everywhere.
Yeah, but
right. Like,
yeah.
And they will be.
But I'm not going to Family Dollar and buying all of those Bumblebees. But yeah, so let's see here. So Toy Fair happened, lots of stuff. Gosh, so the Cloud Starscream, which I kind of have a love-hate relationship. It's mostly hate. We got photos...
Because you hate that you kind of want it?
I hate that I kind of want it. I hate
Same.
It. I hate it. But part of me... Yeah. But we also... Ironhide, which I completely forgot about. So that the entire GDO Brawn... Pardon me, Brawn. Was that the entire GDO Brawn that we were supposed to get before that was shelved? Or is this just a rehash? Because I've completely forgotten about this.
Like, yeah, there was the GDO Brawn from first edition Bulkhead with a Brawn head, which looked hilarious.
That never came out. It never came out.
Right. It was canceled in Asia. It never came out here. And then for Cloud, they gave it more of a paint job and released it as Brawn through there.
So it did come out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
People actually own it.
I have never seen this in person.
I don't think many people bought it.
Yeah, that's the thing with Cloud. You don't have to buy both figures together. So, you know, people bought the Starscream, which was actually surprisingly interesting because as much as Blitzwing looks kind of like a bigger Seeker, who would have thought to make a Starscream out of one?
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went ahead and just got the Double Dealer version just to have, because the color scheme was so nice.
I skipped Double Dealer. I kind of regret it, and I kind of don't.
Yeah, well, he's still in the box for me. I just want him because he looks so good in those colors. But I know the toy is not worth opening up to have another.
Brawn is just terrible, and I want it because it's so ugly.
I have it.
You have it? What do you think about it, John?
It's worth every penny.
Is it?
What it is.
It's worth every penny of the hundred and something dollars you spent on it.
He wasn't that much. I got him from Robot Kingdom too, so.
Well,
put him on
made
the slowest
up
boat.
Shipping, whatever the retail price was.
Yeah, I paired him with a bunch of other stuff, so it worked out. And, like, again, put him on the slowest boat. I'll see you next year. It works out.
I mean, it's just brawn. It's not like you'd be in a hurry for it anyway.
Literally, I gotta get. I have to have this on my shelf now.
Yeah, take your time. Take your time. Go around one more time if you want to. Just you know, scenic route.
Yeah, see the world.
Yeah. He probably forgot he ordered it. He got the box. He was like, "What's this?" Oh, it's
then
just
he opens
wrong.
And he's like,
"The I will say real quick, the Double Dealer is awesome, but you kind of have to get that third party add on kit with the missile that also
that
has
the just
shoulder
so ridiculously
fix.
Big, though.
That's the point.
Yeah, and it also comes
fit
with
the
a
toy,
shoulder
though.
Fix.
The, like visually, it doesn't fit the toy. That's my problem.
It looks surprisingly good. You'd be surprised. Okay.
So,
well, John just likes big missiles.
Yeah, and he cannot lie. So, skipping ahead, I guess back in March is when Masterpiece Sound Blaster came out, right?
Well, actually, it's Masterpiece Rat Bat with a free Sound Blaster, right?
There you go. That's actually that's correct. I had it pre-ordered. I canceled it. I kind of don't regret it, even though I prefer the look of Sound Blaster because, you know, Japanese. And obviously, it makes it superior. And I honestly do really prefer the Sound Blaster to Soundwave. There's just some I don't know. I always have thought Sound Blaster looked great, but I couldn't justify $150 for really what just amounted to wanting Rat Bat. Now it's KO'd. It's $20, yeah. And I haven't bought it because I kind of feel I $20 for it. How's the quality, Don?
Other than there's a little, the one I've got and the ones I picked up from my friend Jermaine, who runs Acme Comics in Greensboro, there's some mold flash here and there that if I trusted myself with a knife and delicate work.
Maybe you can have Massey do it.
Well, I failed shop
flash. That's your face, and when he slashes at your face, he'll actually clean up that knockoff.
Well, yeah, I failed high school shop, so I'm not tools and myself do not get along that well. But other than the
I'm sorry to stop you here, Don, but I'm just curious. When you have all your fingers intact, how do you fail shop class? You fail shop class when you lose fingers.
Now, I didn't know you sanded with the grain. It's all wood. You just sand, and then it works. Apparently not.
Yeah.
My projects just were not that solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it yes I say I failed. I passed with a high D.
You passed it. Okay. So skipping ahead. So Legends Cosmos. Legends Cosmos and Swerve were announced and went up for pre-order.
Okay. So here's the thing with this. The March item is so in 2013, Swerve and Cosmos were available in Southeast Asia. None of the U.S. retailers were ordering them because they had a bunch of the previous assortments of Legends still hold over. And at Toy Fair, Hasbro's people said they were trying to work with the retailers to get them to reorder these assortments so these toys could get out to the people who wanted
them.
Compared to times before when they said they wanted to try to find a way to get the stuff out and it never happened, they actually succeeded this time. That's why this is an item of note. Yeah,
but there, for a short period of time, it was revealed to show Windcharger all over again.
Pretty much.
It's still kind of hard to find. I mean, Cosmos is actually still hitting retail stores now, but it's very sporadic, and they don't stay in store very long because it's actually a great Legends figure.
I always get this confused with the Cosmos that I got from back in 2008.
Well, this one's better is the difference.
I still need to find that.
I look at it and I'm like, which one is that again?
The one that has meaningful arm movement is the new one.
There you go.
And it's a lot better than a third party representation that we've got.
Oh yeah, UFO sucks. UFO sucks so bad.
That's iGear, right?
Yeah. But I do like the Roswell version just because it's a Pathfinder homage.
Yeah, there you go.
So also in March we saw Masterpiece Bumblebee.
Oh yes, that we learned about Masterpiece Bumblebee,
and he's awesome.
We already knew about it, but we actually got to see it finally
with Spike and Exosuit.
And it's
Don. We're just gonna call that Exosuit Wiki from now on.
Yeah.
Although he's so small, I lost mine. I don't know where he went.
Yeah, Bumblebee's easy to lose like that. I think mine's my couch somewhere, like under the cushion. I fall into that group of people who are kind of disappointed by it just because of size. I know that, you know, obviously Bumblebee is smaller than the other Autobots. But, of course, you know, trying to keep the scale negates the point that G1 didn't have scale. And the fact that even in the cartoon, things would shift from one size to the other. So if you have a car that's the size of a car, that's in scale with another car, that's not in scale when it comes to the robot mode. It's going to make, if you try to keep it in scale with the robot mode, it's going to make it a small car. So I would rather it be kind of in scale with the others. And it just, some people would be unhappy that way. I'm unhappy this way. It's just a big mess. I kind of wish they had just sort of skipped it.
Well, you know, now we can get Bumble Jumper and Hubcap and...
For $80. I'm fine without that.
For a toy,
you know, we'll get a Cliff Jumper out of it. I mean...
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, for any of those, you're going to have to reshell the toy, yeah, which is going to be a barrier because it's not just, you know, recolor with a different head. They got to do, like, major replacement parts.
They could do, like, Bug Bite. They could do... is it Glyph?
Glyph, yeah.
So there are a couple of those they can do.
Glyph would totally be an e-hobby thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bug Bite, too, really. Because even if you, like, you know, go back to the blue Bumblebee that was the origin of Glyph's deco, that's still obscure even for Japanese standards.
Was it Argentina?
No, I think it was just like a pre-Transformers alternate color.
Oh, was it? I figured it was one of this South America weird colors.
There may very well have been a blue Volks, too. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I'm imagining in Argentina a gift set of 6 Masterpiece Bumblebees in the Argentine
film. That would be awesome. Oh, gosh. Let's see here. Masterpiece Wheeljack, Star Saber, Ultra Magnus.
Notably at this point of time, the Star Saber stuff was design sketches, no photos.
Oh, just design sketches. And I was still
that's true for a few months here.
I was still skeptical that we would ever get that. And we haven't yet, but
I'm still skeptical it legitimately won the fan poll thing
there you
they
go.
Did, but you know that's
who's the lead? Super Fire Convoy or Fire Convoy? Who did we expect to win that?
Well, it was Armada Prime was one of the.
Armada Prime was up there close to the top.
Yeah, and then Fire Convoy, who y'all should have voted for anyway.
It would be nice to have a good Fire Convoy toy. His design doesn't preclude a good toy. It just we never got one.
Like all they need to do is take the titanium one and upscale it, and that would be.
There you go.
No.
Changer.
We're getting on a tangent here, but what I'd really like to see in a renewed Fire Convoy design is make it where it goes from fire truck to super robot mode and then can shed the armor for the smaller robot.
That would be awesome. So I just said Spy Changer. So I know there's, am I misremembering? There's a Spy Changer Fire Convoy.
There is.
I can visually in my mind see Ultra Magnus.
Yellow everywhere.
Yeah, okay. Because I want to make sure that I'm just not misremembering that. Okay.
Don, I know it's close to your bedtime, but try to hang with us for a little while longer.
No, it's just a long day at work.
We're only into March, Don.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, my God.
But we got a lot of gear left, Don.
For toys. Let's see here. So, speaking of toys, BotCon, we learned about Scorponok.
Yes.
In April.
Major revelation.
Super shocked about that. That was not something I was expecting.
Scorponok was a hell of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Scorponok felt like the most BotCon thing Funpub's BotCon had done since they started.
That's a great way of putting it. It's a G1 character using an Energon mold, and which of course
and
I was surprised.
G1 mold.
And a G1 mold. I was surprised they still had access to that Energon mold. But the fact that they were using a G1 mold of a G1 toy that's on the shelf right now, not on the shelf in the US, but on the shelf in Japan.
And in a retool.
It's a retool of it.
It's not a major modification as far as the amount of pieces, but they actually had to make the whole
sculpt it.
They put they put a new back piece on that figure.
Now I wonder how do we know how much negotiation or what went into that?
No, that, I mean that we never really get that kind of detail.
But like usually at the organizers panel at BotCon, they go into some detail about some of those things. I wasn't at this BotCon, so I don't honestly know.
And unfortunately, I don't remember hearing any stories from the panel about that.
John would have tweeted it if they had said something of a note.
Right.
Because I remember asking somebody, I can't remember if it was Rick Alvarez, I can't remember who it was, about maybe getting a black Zara repaint of that. And because I was trying to figure out how they were looking at the cost from that standpoint of what we might get later on. And I didn't get a definite answer on that either. So
let me backtrack just a bit. So back in March, because we're talking about BotCon stuff, I do want to mention the Pirates versus Ninjas?
Knights.
So
Ninjas would have been interesting too.
I know, but I wasn't crazy about any of the stuff that was announced by then. But in April, we lost Don's video. In April, we did learn about the Fire Guts Jinrai remold of the Optimus Prime figure.
You know, it's really, like, you can say this about a lot of BotCon exclusives. It's too bad they didn't wait a couple years to do this, because Combiner Wars Optimus in the Jinrai colors.
Oh.
Yeah.
Be sad for a minute.
You know, it's like I said, you know, I said pre-BotCon is the reason we got the Jinrai was because the version being run for the Toys R Us 2-pack with the drone probably online around the same time. So, again, you know, for sure, but I was just saying that's probably why we got the Jinrai, because it was a mold that was readily available without a lot of drum.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a far leap either, because... You know, the mold is up near the front of the line, and all they got to do is switch the plastics and do another run of it. So, I mean, it makes sense logistically.
Moving ahead to May, we got new images of a Leader Class Jetfire. And by this point, I guess we'd already had images of the Takara version, because people were saying how they were just going to skip the U.S. version.
Actually, because of the Chrome, people had decided they were going to preemptively skip the U.S. version and hope that the Takara one was better, which technically it was, because it didn't have Chrome.
Yes.
Because 2014, among other things, was the year that Hasbro decided fans loved Chrome.
Yeah.
They seem to have realized their mistake, however.
Yeah.
Chrome.
A very weird instance where Hasbro was adding things to Takara didn't.
Or Takara's removing things.
Far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was kind of the year that Takara and Hasbro swapped places. There have been an awful lot of Takara decos that, for the first time in a decade or so, actually have been superior to the Hasbro versions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's true. Let's see here. So we got a reveal of Legends Cliffjumper. Let's see here. What
else? Yeah, one of the early things by the now, very widely known Transformers Columbia Facebook group.
And we got a hint at Generations repaints, but we've never heard back on any of this.
Okay, what this was, the Transformers Generations book by Million Publishing.
Ah. Yeah.
They had the polling so that the readers could decide what the next exclusive
So the news item here. Yeah, okay. So it ended up being we got from Master Force.
Go Shooter,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. Go Shooter does look pretty great. So I was hoping for Alpha Trion.
Yeah, I'm mad that Alpha Trion got beat.
But
Alpha Trion would have probably been the best one, because that's the one most unlikely to appear in any kind of retail setting, because, you know, it'd be like a majorly purple Autobot figure.
And it's off that Scourge mold, which is just wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a feeling, though, Takara wouldn't have put that particular selection up if they didn't already have plans in place and they just wanted to see how the public viewed that selection of figures.
I mean, having plans in place is one thing. Executing on those plans is entirely different. So they may have... Go ahead.
the thing is, this is like doing BotCon concept stuff where somebody sits in front of Photoshop for 5 hours and puts together a few proposals. And, you know, since it's all existing mold, all they got to do is they have to look at a list of what molds are available to run at the factory and then figure out what colors they can put on those molds to make them what characters. And whatever one gets picked, they can send the instructions to the factory, run this with these Pantones and put these paint apps on it and send it back to us. It's a much, much quicker process than to do a fully new toy from the ground up.
Absolutely. So we found out in, I guess it was a rumor, but it ended up being true that we were going to get Masterpiece Sunstorm in June. And that did go out in June. We had first images, color images of Masterpiece Wheeljack. God, this seems like so long ago, but it really wasn't.
I know, right? Yeah, we have had a really busy year.
This has been one of the busiest years in history. It's ridiculous. It's great.
Because, it's also been very, very expensive.
Oh my
well,
God!
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm getting at. Every year the Transformers line gets bigger.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've hit the peak of that yet, but every year it's getting bigger, and you know we get more busy when we get into the toy stuff every time.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. We got photos of that Evangelion Optimus MP10, which I do not hate still.
That whole thing is just hilarious, too.
Yeah. We got test shots.
The story pages, too.
Yeah, we got test shots of Ultra Magnus, MP Ultra Magnus. This was interesting. I wasn't expecting this. A reissue of Masterpiece Grimlock at Toys R Us.
Yes.
Totally not expecting that.
And that was really interesting, too, because when we were at Shardacon in 2013, we saw a few tables selling Grimlocks for, like, $250.
Yeah. It's a nice figure. You know, it's a great figure.
Then here's this one for $80.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it great?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. So we got a photo. Is it a photo or is it a test shot? Oh, yeah, a photo of the Rampage head sculpt. From the Collector's Club.
The little tiny head.
And we actually talked to the designers of that who basically explained that it was slightly modified for safety purposes. It's a nice toy. Surprisingly nice toy.
Of course, like, FunPub, when they were showing it off originally, kept taking pictures of it at angles that made it hard to tell just what the exact scale of the head was to the figure.
It is a little small. It's a little small.
They used the Voyager Prime Megatron for that, didn't they?
No, the Deluxe.
It looks that tiny on the Deluxe. That's frightening.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow.
Let's see here. And...
No, if they would have used a Voyager, they would have had to use Sharktacon Megatron.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the paint on it, because the paint is beautiful.
The deco is really pretty. That head is just a little unfortunate.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. So moving ahead to June, it was laughable to me at the time, and I never quite got it, and apparently other folks didn't either. The Knights of Unicron set, which was going to be the SDCC exclusive, which a lot of my friends said, "Oh, it's great! It's so wonderful! It's fun! It's fantastic! You know, it breaks the mold, but it's so expensive for what you get." And, like, I heard people on other podcasts, non-Transformers podcasts, talk about that was the set that they wanted. So I'm like, man, maybe this thing will be a huge hit and it'll sell out. It wasn't that big of a hit. It eventually sold out, but it wasn't.
The thing that sold out was the Creon set first.
Yeah.
Was it?
Because even that Dinobot set hung around a little bit.
Yep, the Dinobot set, too, which I got the Creon set, the class of 1984, and I really liked that until I actually got it and realized, well, it wasn't the line of 84 Autobots. It was just a bunch of Creons in a box. That shows how much attention I pay sometimes. But, you know, it's a nice little set if you like Creons. Not bad.
The real winner for Comic-Con in terms of concept, at least, was that pop-up arc with the Dinobots.
Yeah. I didn't want it, but I really appreciated the effort they went into. The winning of that. Here's the Creon set.
It was a really strong concept. that, you know, they carried that through from start to finish. I really thought they did well with that.
And I think more people wanted the arc than the
Yeah, people wanted the box more than they wanted the toys.
Which is interesting. Yep. Oh my gosh, so it's a lot of
stuff.
Well,
you know, sometimes the best part is the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see here. We learned about so many things in June, what to talk about. Let's see.
Lots of BotCon reveals, because, you know, BotCon was in June.
Yeah. Gosh. Just sort of, I don't want to talk about everything.
Right.
Let's see. Alpha, no, that didn't come out. Actually, where did that come out? Sorry. The Alpha Trion figure. Oh, yeah, that's
Alpha Trizer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not my favorite. Not something. Okay, skipping ahead. What came out? What do you guys? What came out in June, or what did we learn about in June that really strikes your guys' fancy?
Cloud Rodimus.
We learned about him in June. Yeah,
we learned it would actually be a toy in June,
and
because after its first appearance was at the end of 2013 in the second Cloud story page. And, you know, from that point, it's just like, when will this be a toy I can buy? And that's when we found out it would be a toy we could buy.
Yeah, that is pretty great. I guess I'll eventually pick it up. Need to do that. One thing I haven't picked up that... Shock World, no.
By anybody.
No.
I really want Shock World, said no one.
Said ever. No one.
The other big thing in June was finally seeing... Or are we June or July here?
In June, because I want to talk about the Optimus Prime pin.
Oh, well, go ahead and talk about that. We can do the other thing in a minute.
So, it's pretty. I didn't buy it. I couldn't bring myself to it. Did any of you guys pick it up?
No.
It's so pretty. But it's $50 for a pin.
It looks like a really nice little Optimus Prime action figure that also has a stick mode.
That transforms into a stick.
Yeah.
Customize it into Rung.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He has, of course, a Black Convoy paint job and an Ultra Magnus. Black Convoy looks nice, Ultra Magnus not so much. Ultra Magnus doesn't look bad, it's just it's Ultra Magnus, it's kind of boring.
And I think Ultra Magnus was an HLJ exclusive.
Was it?
If I remember right.
And yeah, but I wanted that. So XV, you're gonna say something.
Well, the other thing we saw in June was actually the first look at the prototype of Masterpiece Star Saber, which was our first look at the actual figure itself.
Completely forgot about that.
And it was from one of those lovely Japanese toy shows with the no photography signs.
Yep.
Yeah, let me show the picture for the people watching the video with the no photography sign. There it is.
Well, that's the best part, because like when you get pictures of stuff that you're not supposed to take pictures of, you have to get the no photography sign in there too.
Yeah,
it's part of the art form.
Yeah. And I like the fact. The one thing I've always appreciated about this picture was the reflection of the chain in front of him, so it looks like he's bound.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that.
I've always loved that.
It's very artsy, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's who took that photo? Do we know?
I have no idea.
I'm looking for the credit on it. I don't see it, so it's probably.
I mean, there's every chance. There's every chance the photo itself came from 4chan, and there's no like trace back to who originally took it.
It's possible. It's probably Deathy. Let's see.
In Japan,
yeah, of course.
Well, I guess we haven't really heard from him lately. We don't know what he's up to.
So, moving ahead to July, unreleased stuff, all those, like, unreleased G2 toys that, you know, that we've really never had a really good chance of seeing. The most complete G2 Menasor ever. The only complete G2 Menasor ever, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was missing the
Menasor faceplate, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but otherwise, I'm pretty sure it was complete.
Yeah, how much did it end up going for?
Like 27,000,
I think.
Yeah.
But by comparison, that first issue of Superman went for almost $3 million. So
yeah, there's a slight difference in collectability.
The Minotaur was a bargain.
There you go. That's true.
But the Minotaur looks great on my shelf. So
yeah, congratulations. I'm still waiting for one of those people who not like at iOffer who knock off all the G1 stuff to do that for me. I will gladly buy that for $30 if I can get it. But yeah, so lots of mock-ups and prototypes and pre-production samples of toys from that former Kenner employee.
And a few of these things did end up in the hands of people we actually know.
Oh, who bought? Who do we know?
Well, Walkie got the Dinobot.
Yeah, that's right. He paid, what, a few hundred dollars?
Alan got the Waspinator.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, a few of these things did end up in, like, the hands of people who we know who they are.
People that we know personally.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That Waspinator, which looks like Alan. Hey, Alan, I think you're probably listening to this, so you've already heard that joke, though. I love Alan.
Comparatively, though, Waspinator and Dinobot went for much, much less than, say, you know, the Stunticons or even some of the other prototype stuff.
True, true. So, yeah, that's quite a few things. So, we learned a lot of things at SDCC, which is also in July, kind of like all the stuff that we wanted to learn about at BotCon but didn't.
Right, so BotCon, they were able, like, they were not allowed to reveal Combiner Wars at BotCon because they'd already made the agreement, we'll show this off at Comic-Con. So, you know, the people who were at the panel at BotCon got to see a silhouette of Superion with no context. Because their plan was, well, the fans are smart enough, they will get the message, but we're technically not violating our agreement.
Do you think that, do we know that they had an agreement at SDCC, or is that an assumption?
We know they had an agreement to debut the information elsewhere.
Okay.
They did not specifically say SDCC, but SDCC is where it debuted. Therefore, but that information was stated outright in an interview. It may have been Clint Chapman. I don't remember specifically at this point who the interview was with. One of the representatives that was at BotCon, though.
Okay.
But they also showed the Combiner Wars Optimus, also with no context that it was a Combiner.
So yes,
they,
we did.
They were like, they snuck the stuff in there, but it wasn't until Comic-Con that we found out.
We actually originally thought that they had, what's the correct word, GIMPed, the Optimus Prime, because we knew that it was going to be, why can't I think? It was also going to be Motormaster.
Motormaster.
Yeah. I always want to say just Minasaur, because I'm an idiot. No, I knew it was going to be Motormaster, and we thought that they'd actually took out the combining pieces, but nope, sure didn't. You can combine him. Looks funny, but maybe we'll get that Masquerade. Actually, apparently we are going to get that Masquerade combiner, yeah. So that's crazy. Like, we've been talking about that for years, and
But, I mean, Combiner Wars itself is crazy.
It is. Mm-hmm. But we first learned about that in official form, official capacity there. We learned about RID as well, but that's, we didn't have any photo. Did we have any photo? We didn't have photos of toys at that point, did we?
There were no toys on. No. I don't think we saw any of the 2015 RID toys until New York Comic Con.
Okay.
Yeah. All we had was another confusing set of
We sure did, Don. we got a few press kit photos around that time, but we didn't actually see any, like, production sample toys until much later.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, the best part of the Combiner Wars reveal was the, like, incredibly broken prototypes they had of Menasaur and Superion on hand.
They look, I thought,
that were hand painted and glued together.
Yeah,
I thought that they were going to be terrible. Like, what, by what,
yes,
we saw,
and, you know, if the toys they actually released were made of resin, they would be.
But no, I mean, like, they just look like crap. But, like, Superion legitimately looks fantastic.
Oh yes, absolutely. And even Minasaur looks fine.
Yeah, Minasaur looks fine now. He didn't before.
Right. Well, neither did Superion.
Yeah. So, you know, that's there. So, let's see here. We got new photos of Generations Roadbuster. Wasn't out by July. When did he actually come out?
I think it was August.
August.
Yeah.
So that's a way. That's a way I've, like, forgotten that it even came out, because it came out in a whirlwind.
Yeah,
stuff.
I know.
And it's not a bad toy at all.
It got overwhelmed by other things is the problem.
So we got more photos of that, as well as Skybite, who is not a great toy.
No.
Yeah, Clownfeet was definitely better than Skybite.
Let's see here. Jetfire pre-orders opened up at Big Bad back in July. New photos.
And I think they still have not been able to fill all of those.
Really?
Well,
I keep hearing that Big Bad Toyster has not been able to get Jetfire in.
I don't remember where I got mine from. I'm thinking Amazon.
Yeah, well, that's weird because
a lot of people got from Amazon. Amazon or just in-person fine. Sorry, Don, what?
Oh, no, I'm saying, of all the things that this Christmas season, because it's, shopping online this year seems to be really difficult for a lot of people because the prices are just bouncing all over the place, but that Jetfire has been one consistently one of the more marked down toys I've seen.
Kmart had for $20.
Yeah.
Yeah, right after my Kmart closed.
Yeah. With a Kmart that wouldn't sell me Optimus Prime and Grimlock, that one's still open. But I haven't had a chance to go because it's so far away. Let's see here. So did we get our first images of RC and Chromia in July? Was that the first time we actually...
I'm gonna go with that assumption.
It's
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, I was pretty obviously...
That was a revelation, I mean, because we had no idea what to expect of that RC.
And she looks great. By that point, I think it was pretty clear that she was not going to be a headmaster. I had hopes. I had hopes till the point that I opened this thing up that I might have a freaking headmaster just so that Don could finally have his headmaster RC. Sadly.
No, but I mean, I was pretty stunned that they went in the direction they did with RC because the Robots in Disguise comic, Andrew Griffith designed an Earth mode for RC that looked really good and it looked toy capable, and I was expecting that to be what the RC toy was going to be because Robots in Disguise is the toy ad book.
And they also changed her colors, right?
But they have changed them back. I'm pretty sure they've made her.
Yeah,
she's faithful.
At one time, it was going to be a darker red instead of the pink, and because I remember having a conversation, I was like, "Absolutely not! I want it pink." And like, I'm not even
give me my pink RC, or I'm going to punch you in the face.
Okay. Now, maybe the red one is a possible repaint for, you know, this mold. Who knows?
The interview with the designer, Hironori Kobayashi, he talked about how they were working on an RC that could be remolded into Blur. And I'm kind of wondering if that's not what the RC that showed up in Robots in Disguise is. I'm kind of wondering if there's not an alternate RC almost done somewhere.
What I learned was the RC from the comic in Dark Cybertron was based on very, very early concept art, which more or less has no relation to what the final toy ended up being.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm betting that was probably based on the original version that they scrapped in favor of Kobayashi's design.
Let's see here. So, we got first images of all the alt mode or all the mold modes for Star Saber. We didn't know at this point though that how he related in comparison to the original Star Saber.
At this point, we didn't even know there was a Brain Master.
Yeah, we were assuming that we were hoping there would be, but we didn't know for sure. Let's see here. What else? MP08X. I've already forgotten what this was. Oh,
it's the throne for Grimlock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here.
Let me see.
Yeah.
This was... We saw the gigantic action Scorponok and
the
Black Zara.
Yeah, the Titan-class-sized Megazarak.
This is the large bath toy.
Well, it's nicer than the bath toy. It's
more detailed.
It's much more detailed. Didn't the price on these just get marked down?
They've been on sale on HLJ, and I mean they're still very expensive to get and ship, but they're nearly as much as the base retail.
They're so pretty.
They are really nice looking, aren't they?
I want it. And the reason that we think that they don't transform, because transformation would be really simple, is because Takara wouldn't want, like, somebody else designing Transformers.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, all the evidence we can see from the licensed products that have come out, the things that transform into non-Transformers stuff. So, you know, Mega Drive Megatron turns into a video game console, not a tank or a gun. The Optimus Pen turns into a pen rather than a truck. Where, you know, Scorponok is just Scorponok, and it does not transform into a Scorpion mode, despite that it would be alarmingly simple to actually make that happen.
So, question, I didn't actually realize that. So, Mega Drive Megatron isn't a Takara product?
Tomy Arts, I believe. I believe
Sentinel is the one producing it.
Okay.
I think...
I just assumed that it was Takara Tomy, and it was just one of their weird
labels. I think it is still a licensed product.
Okay. Didn't know that. That, I mean, doesn't change things one way or the other for me, but...
No, but the example still works. You know, things that transform turn into non-transformer images.
Yeah.
Whereas otherwise, if it's a faithful Transformers thing, it does. They won't let it be a transforming toy.
Right.
Let's see here. So, while not exactly toy related, I do want to mention this because I don't know when I'll mention it otherwise. There was that Harmony Gold Kickstarter in July that was canceled. So, yeah, sorry, bye Robotech. Nice knowing you. Let's see here. God, there is a.
It's okay. We're winding down now.
Yeah. So August, moving ahead. More masterpiece. We keep getting masterpiece Star Saber photos.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there's a lot of that. Just you know, we'll settle in.
We're still getting masterpiece Star Saber photos.
Well, the toy don't come out till March, dude. There's lots of time to advertise it.
Yeah.
With exhaust.
So the Bathing Ape version of Masterpiece MP10, Masterpiece Prime, still doesn't look as good as the Evangelion version does, but I don't want either. I don't want to spend the money. Sure, what else? August. What else, guys? What else in August do you... Deluxe Nightbeat. We actually got actual photos of that. Was that when we learned that it wasn't going to be in the...
No, we found out about that at Toy Fair.
Okay.
I think the most entertaining thing was Cloud Energon Ironhide, also known as Roadbuster because Super Link.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That so clever.
Weird circuitous way that they ended up...
Yeah, that was amusing to me.
My slightly headache-inducing. let's see here.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
This is going back just a bit, but you were talking about that Mega Action Zerak. It's currently right now $190, and shipping has dropped down to $80.
Oh wow, that's almost reasonable. It is reasonable. I mean, that's not bad.
Brian's gonna buy one.
No.
I mean, I'll be honest. If I didn't have Utopia sitting over there, I would probably have the Black Zerak version. But
yeah,
even though it's missing accessories.
Well, it's Black Zerak. I don't have a Black Zerak.
So we learned about... Go ahead.
I was going to go for Leo Convoy next.
Okay, go ahead.
So probably we found out 2015's free membership incentive figure for the Collector's Club, which was going to be the Generations Orion PAX toy from 2013 done as Leo Convoy, which was very similar to a custom done by Cheats.
Yeah, that was cool. Treadshot ended up being the subscription service 2.0 figure for that month.
I have that.
It's so nice. It's the best version of that mold.
Treadshot is what I wanted out of a Warpath 3 color from the time Warpath came out.
It's so pretty.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a BotCon caliber toy. It feels like a retail recolor.
It feels like a retail recolor. Hey, John, did you end up getting Subscription Service 3.0?
Yeah.
Awesome. So you'll still get photos before anybody else. Great.
yes. Watch out for random Saturdays next year.
I love that.
Hey, I mean, I found that to be pretty fun.
I just want to point out, it was beautiful that I was the first person to report Ultra
Mammoth.
Mammoth, yeah. That made me so happy that I don't know how.
Well, it's because that was like it was made for you, too.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened before. I mean, like, just magically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see here. I'm going to move to September. Worst masterpiece Star Saber stuff.
Yes.
Will Jack actually shipped in September, right? So
I think so.
And we learned that MP23 was going to be exhaust.
Hello.
Jetfire
followed
Jet.
By a lot of legal letters.
Yeah. Well, we'll get there.
Because right now we're at the whining about a recolor getting an official number.
Yeah.
We'll get to the other stuff later.
Oh yeah, that's right. It never actually occurred to me. He wasn't like a BE or something. Yeah.
No,
which I don't agree with. I didn't agree with it then.
I don't care.
Crying out loud.
Why do I care?
I can't. Awesome. Shut up.
It doesn't affect me.
But now it really.
I can't. Shut up.
They're not Pokemon cancer. Diecast. You don't got to catch them all.
Yeah, you do. Let's see here. So, Jetfire shipped. There you go. We got new photos of Chromia.
Well, Jetfire was sighted in Canada and Virginia, but Toys R Us was saying that if it wasn't shipped by October 10th, it was just getting canceled.
Subscription.
That's like that Toys R Us's standard thing. Hey, this thing you pre-ordered, we're probably going to cancel it.
Yeah. We got new subscription service 3.0 images. The one that I want to mention, of course, is Starscream, because it's G2 Starscream.
But it's the damn Seeker mold again.
I know.
And it's the second one in that set.
I know.
That's a Seeker set.
And the problem with G2 Starscream is it's just not that G2-ish as compared to what other, you know.
I still think the seventh Secret figure will be another Seeker. I'm calling it.
I don't do that to us.
Seekers come in threes.
That's true. Yeah. I want to say there was like rumblings that the seventh figure was going to be a Generations Legend, though.
I regret not subscribing, but I don't at the same time.
Yeah, I really don't. There is nothing in the set. Well, okay, there's Croc, but besides that, I don't care.
Serpentoir. So, let's see here. Moving to October, guess what? More Star Saber news. We got images of the gold version Megatron, and people are in a tizzy. Still are about that. Let's see here.
Also, you're the goat masterpiece sound wave.
It's such a beloved toy, and people were so sad it was getting the gold chrome color.
Yeah, I know. So, you're the goat. Laser Prime and Soundwave.
I love that Laser Prime.
This Soundwave is like half Linkin Park, half Invisible.
I know. It's so weird. So weird. So, let's see here. Generations RC photos. More images of Ghost Shooter. Looks so great. Leader Class. We learned that Leader Class Ultra Magnus may be coming to Generations in 2015. Do we expect that to be Optimus, or do we have any idea? We still don't know.
I hope it's not the Optimus mold. I hope it's its own thing.
Well, this is Leader Class.
Yeah, it's Leader, so.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
it'd
be the Optimus mold plus whatever to make it Ultra Magnus. I just hope it's
I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking Voyager Optimus. We've been doing this for 3 hours. So let's see here. Moving ahead.
we had the New York Comic Con stuff in October.
Yeah, Robots in the Skies. We'll get to that because that's mostly cartoon related, right? We didn't get photos.
We saw toys and we saw the toys from the Hasbro event.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Diecast was there.
Yeah. We were the first ones to get photos out, I believe.
Oh, we're awesome.
Yeah, I think those went up on our Twitter before anybody else.
God,
between
John and Diecast, we are first on everything. It's pretty great.
Yeah, boy.
We're awesome.
That's right.
We are.
Another year of that.
No, it's great. Like when I first started doing this crap, I was talking about BotCon like 2 weeks after everybody got back and already posted their reports. That was like the BotCon stuff. Now we're like, you know,
They're live,
you know, breaking the news.
Yeah, so it's burning the iPhone battery.
and if we were deathy, we would be there breaking the displays.
I haven't done that yet, but
yet.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. Like when I actually made it to a BotCon back in the day, the report would go up like a week later because, of course, no internet on my phone.
That was the era where we had BotCon reports. That doesn't happen anymore because we've got Twitter and everything, and everybody's just talking about it as it's happening.
I miss that. I miss those BotCon reports.
I kind of do, too, because, like, even if you go, other people's reports can give you a different perspective and, like, cover information you didn't catch.
I always try to make mine as entertaining as possible, and failing, usually, but...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Okay, so moving to, unless I'm missing something, November Combiner Wars. We got Ultra Prime and Superion diagrams. So basically what the toys look like combined. So I'll pull that up for people watching.
And the stupidest...
Oh, and going back to August, or not August, October really quick. We saw Leader Thundercracker for the first time at the Comic-Con Hasbro event.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah,
that exists.
Actually, that thing exists, and it's currently looking like it's going to ship out in April.
And I heard that's going to be a full case too.
Yeah, it's going to be two of those. It's going to be Leader Jetfire again.
Where do we have a photo of that? I'm looking for.
Only
it.
People don't want it.
I'm going to wait for that to go on a $20 sale.
Like when I found out Thundercracker was coming out, I kind of backed off Jetfire. You know, I'm probably going to. That's the version of the mole I'm going to end up having.
Oh yeah, crap! And it is a repaint or a retool. It shows how much I forgot this thing existed.
Good job.
Yeah, I completely forgot it existed. God,
I did too.
Did you remember Leader Megatron exists?
Yes, both of them.
Yeah, both of them. Which those are looking like July or maybe February now.
I would buy them even though I kind of
3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours. I'm gonna buy them. Armada Megatron, my god.
Yeah, probably what you need to do is like when the pre-orders open up on the US stores, just get a case which will have, you know, a G1 and an Armada in it, and you can just, you know, have both.
Yeah.
And then never sell the Armada one. Because you'll never.
But he wants the Armada one.
That's what I want.
Oh, you want the Armada one?
I love Armada Megatron. Yeah. Armada Megatron is one of my like top five toys ever.
He's just going to end up with a G1 Megatron that he doesn't really want.
Yes, but G1 Megatron wearing Armada Megatron poorly.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is true.
It's Armada Megatron cosplay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much. It's kind of like how the Imaginext toys are like DC cosplay.
Yes.
So, let's see here.
I'm just going to agree with that because I don't know what you're actually talking about.
Actually, I do. I got you, Brian. Yeah, you're right.
The Protectobot listings found in the Walmart inventory system was did that end up being the that didn't end up being the two packs, did it?
No. These were specifically prefixed with Combiner Wars.
So yeah. That ended up being the Combiner Wars. The two packs that ended up, was that an online exclusive?
They were made for Asia, and we got them on Amazon.
Yeah, I got the one I wanted. I couldn't remember the actual source of that though. $13. Is it still $13 for that? If it is,
or less.
Why can't like Unicron show up on Amazon for like $20? Yeah.
Seriously.
The problem is when Unicron was on Amazon, it kept going out of stock every 5 minutes.
Yeah, you think that that mold's probably done by now? I would really hope to get an updated Unicron.
I want to get the one that came out that John has. John has the card. John has
the 2010 Unicron.
Yeah.
I'd like one of those myself.
I hate myself for not getting that.
Is that the Amazon one? Or
yes, the Takara, yeah. But the Amazon one came out as well, unless you have both.
No, I don't have that one. I don't have the. Why would I get the Amazon one when I have the 2010 one, Brian?
That's a good point. I don't
know. Yeah.
Don't ask.
No, but if we got a new Unicron toy, it wouldn't be what you would want it to be.
It'd be that it'd be that deluxe one. It'd be another one of those. Which XP has within arm's reach.
That one's awesome in its own way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, which is the awesome part.
So Brainstorm started shipping in November. Yay. Mm. Rodimus started shipping, Cloud Rodimus.
And we got rumors that there might be a Devastator for Combiner Wars.
Yeah, which we still don't know for sure.
No, but it, like, all the things being said made sense, so it at least wasn't one of those, you know, stupid off-the-wall kind of rumors.
So, and the assertion was made that there was a running production change for RC, but the only RC that I've seen are the ones basically with the open hand. The thought was that
we had pictures of RCs like that people had in Hong Kong, and those had the closed.
Oh, okay. Hands. So I thought it was based on
diecast.
The packaging.
Has the one.
Mine
with closed
has closed
hands.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those
just
are
the
out there.
I thought it was just the packaging that had the closed hands on it.
You've seen open hands because I haven't seen those yet.
That's what I've got right
open
here.
Open hands is all I've seen anywhere. Sadly, the closed hand version that can actually hold her swords seems to be a much rarer variation at the moment.
Oh, good. In fact, I have the rare one.
Have you seen others besides the one you have?
No, not really.
What was the source of yours? Where did you get yours again?
Walmart.
You found yours at Walmart?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought you ordered.
Well, didn't you say that somebody you know got that for you?
He picked it up. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, crap. I didn't realize that. Let's see here. Bumblebee. I guess did he ship in November?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
We learned that Philip Morris was banning exhaust.
Yes, and basically every week is a report of another store they've contacted who can no longer sell them in the U.S.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it seems like at least from Japan, we may possibly get them.
But long story short, if you have a valid pre-order for exhaust that hasn't been canceled yet, don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
It's a secret to everybody.
It sounds really dumb, but that's basically where we're at with this.
They also now talk about MP23, and this was my reasoning for, you know, or adding to my reasoning if it shouldn't be MP23, because
shut
basically the chart's going to go MP22 right to MP24.
No, because it's still going to come out in Japan. It'll be fine.
Yeah. I know, but we're going to have this gap of, like, things we can't talk about.
Are you obsessive compulsive? Because I am, and Zoloft helps.
Yes, Diecast, get
Speaking
medication.
You know, some of the viewers will probably agree with me.
I know. They will.
I thought some of the viewers would agree with us that you need medication.
Oh, so here's how it works. Some of viewers agree with something I say, then other viewers will say that doesn't make any sense because some people will agree with XV. Some people will agree with XV, and some people will say, well, XV is an idiot because he's totally wrong because everyone has difference of opinion. And what I happen to say is fact. So there's when people disagree, they're wrong.
That's funny because what I say is also fact.
Agree to disagree.
No, because my fact is correct.
So in December, guess what? That's this month. So Combiner Wars are shipping. They first showed up in the UK.
And some of us have some already.
Yeah, so you got yours.
Although
from Big
Bad. I just had the small ones.
So, let's see here. I don't have any of mine yet. I need them.
Mine will be here Tuesday, and just for everyone listening, that's the day before Christmas Eve, so I'm going to have a heck of a time recording the videos for these.
Yeah, Kim
Maybe
will be
you
like...
you wait until after Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
Yeah, just wait.
Because it's not like you would be first on the block anyway, because all the people in the UK already have been.
Yeah.
But plus, you know what? They almost never get that opportunity, so good for them.
Yeah.
Plus, as a lot of people found out last week, hey, RC and Chromium have come in. That's great. What's the second notification I've got? So, a $40 order for two generations turns into, let's see.
$200 order.
A nice round number, yeah.
I have that waiting, plus Hexatron.
It's like, you know, it's literally, it's like, I know I've got, what's the second? Oh, no way.
Yeah, it's crazy. Let's see.
So here. Would this be the biggest push for a new year? Because we're getting, you know, five deluxes or four deluxes and two Voyagers.
Don't forget the RID toys also came out.
Yeah, the RID toys. Yeah, so, I mean, we're already got a lot of toys for 2015.
We got a heavy toy push for immediately before Christmas.
I cannot think of a year where we got this much stuff this close.
Maybe Energon. Maybe Energon.
Okay, stuff that I want. Stuff that I like.
Well, there you go. I like some of Energon, though. But
Energon, I started getting in October.
Now that you mention it.
Because I found Optimus Prime the first Saturday in October year. So. But I know more stuff was coming out.
So, you have the one with the mouth, too?
Yeah.
Good.
I got the one with the mouth. I looked for that specifically.
Yeah.
Because it made people mad.
Made people mad. So, let's see here. So, in December, XV was able to reason out the height of Superion, and it was correct. Let's see here. We learned that due to Combiner Wars inventory listings that we may be getting that Masquerade Combiner, which would be so awesome. Let's see here. Lots of Combiner Wars stuff. And anything else really worth noting from December for toys?
Ultra Magnus should be out this month too.
Jeez.
Ultra Magnus ships at the end of December.
Good gracious.
The 27th, I think. I believe so, yeah. God.
Okay. Yes. So broke. So broke. Okay. let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll talk about some third-party stuff.
Oh.
Aww.
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook.
Okay, third-party stuff. So we got a lot of combiners, some dinosaurs, and that's it. Have a good one. We'll be right back. Okay, I do that joke all the time. I'm sorry. So, yeah, so combiners.
Damn, I was hoping that would really be the segment.
I was hoping that would be the segment, too. like I said, I guess, I disagree with me if I'm wrong, guys. Combiners and Dinobots, that was the big theme for 2014.
Like, well, for the first half of 2014, it was basically the year of the Predacon. And then in the second half, it became the year of the Dinobots.
And the big letdown, Kronos.
Yeah.
I prefer not to try to think about that.
So, I guess...
So do all the people who bought one.
Yeah. I just keep wishing Fans Toys makes a really nice one.
Later class Jetfire is fine.
I think the fact that the person that we know that bought a Kronos is also eating a ham and pineapple pizza really just says the whole thing.
We know two people that got a Kronos, dude.
Who is the other one?
I got one.
But you're not Don. Why did you get one?
Skyfire is my favorite Transformer.
Then why would you get something so terrible and ruin the your Skyfire?
That's like getting
was snookered.
Yeah, pretty much. So I guess early on in the year, let's see here, we got new images of that crossover gen trailer for Scott Bomber 8. Did that come out?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's in stock.
I think it came out and nobody's really paying attention.
Yeah, like that just went up and died. Like we'll talk about what. I'll just jump to Nova Lord. Nova Lord like was canceled. That was like the hotness for like third party stuff for like a year.
Well, it was only the hotness based on the fact that, hey, here's a giant Overlord toy. The problem with that is, hey, it's a giant Overlord toy.
Yeah, it's a giant Overlord toy, which is bigger than Overlord and would cost less than Overlord. So it seems like win-win, but guess not. So we first got, and it was Gumball, the first Prometheus figure that we saw.
Yes.
Yep.
And hey, it very much looks like Streetwise.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the best looking figure out of the group so far.
Yeah.
So there's the problem is for you.
Yeah, it's still TFC toys though, which means that if you got Hercules, it's still the same kind of toy because they apparently don't advance any.
And there may be an add-on kit for it down the road that you have to buy in order for
the Yeah, that's the biggest problem with TFC is you buy all of the figures and then you still have to buy an add-on kit to complete it.
Right, because like they did that with Hercules without the intent of selling the add-on. Because like, you know, they did their take on Devastator and people wanted it to be more G1, so they made the add-on kit. And from that they decided, hey, maybe there's a market for this.
I have Hercules. I love Hercules.
Oh, yeah. I love the way Hercules.
Sadly, have some of the Aerial Bots too, and don't love those.
Yeah,
I love the way Hercules was designed to like evoke Devastator, but not slavishly recreate Devastator. I hate that Rage of Hercules made it slavishly recreate Devastator.
Yes.
Like you said, XV, that's exactly what they did. They said, oh, this add-on kit worked, and the next figure they designed it around an add-on kit.
And they will probably do the same thing with whatever their defensor is called. Prometheus.
It's just a shame because if Prometheus had come out after Hercules, I would have been pretty much ordering it just on the basis of how strong Hercules was.
Like Hercules is pretty damn strong.
Yeah, like ordering, Scoria based on Quake Wave's overall success. But with Uranus really being a major stumbling block.
Remember that conversation about O-rings, XP?
Yeah, sorry. I was just thinking about that.
Sorry.
Go on, Don, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, I think TFC needs to, in going into the new year, needs to look at, you know, revamping their stuff, because I don't know anyone that's happy with their stuff after completing Hercules.
So, another we got images. I don't remember if it came out or not. I don't have it. But in January...
Trash talk?
Yes. So, the thing I hate about third-party toys is usually they are soulless. They are just as mechanical and faithful at an engineering level as you can be, as far as like reimagining and redesigning like a G1 character, but they don't have a soul. But Trash Talk is like just throws all that out the window. He is like so much more alive than any Hasbro version of this toy could possibly be, and I hate that I don't own it.
He comes with Energon drinks. You can't really beat that.
He is pretty fantastic. I hate that I don't own him.
My problem is, like, I like a lot of that toy. I don't like its face. I don't like the way the face is designed.
I also don't
like that it's the size of a Generation's Legend and it costs $35, but it's also part of a 2-pack, so you actually pay $70 for it.
What did he come with?
Cogwheel. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So, and Gears isn't bad. I mean, he's decent, but...
Like, if I could get Trash Talk with the drink tray by itself for $35, I might. But, you know, a $70 set of two, and I'm not completely happy with either one, no.
Well, then you also have to buy the My First Blaster.
I have that, because you can buy that by itself for $12.
Yes, I did at TFCon.
And, you know... Shave down the stock handle a little bit and get a thing of PVC tubing to slide over the stump, and you get a 5mm grip, and the Hasbro Swerve can hold it. It's actually a really simple mod.
I just assumed that was made for Hasbro Swerve.
No, it's actually Trash Talk has like a 4mm hand size, and the Hasbro Swerve has 5. I saw the other day on Shapeways, though, somebody actually designed an adapter piece for the My First Blaster.
Oh, nice.
To step it down to, or step it up, I mean, to 5mm.
Huh.
You do have to cut some of the original handle off, but if you're doing that, you don't really care anyway. And it had the 4mm extension, so you can still use it with Trash Talk anyway.
Oh, cool.
I just have my Swerve kind of support it in that way.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, that's how I do it with mine.
Here, let me see. I've got the package... Actually, this is just 4.8mm, like, styrene tubing. And, you know, you shave down the handle on the My First Blaster a little bit until it fits the inside diameter, and you get an effective 5mm handle for it. It works really well, actually.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So, moving ahead to February, we got some Dinobots. Third party, not Dinobots.
Yep, and then in March we got some third party, not Dinobots.
Can we say pretty much every month?
I think we got some third party.
Yeah.
so that I don't belittle them. I need you guys to translate. So we got Scoria. Oh, so Scoria's out. So Scoria was out not long after this, because I saw that at Don's house.
Yeah, Scoria's one of the masterpiece scale ones.
Yeah, Scoria's one of the good ones.
I don't think it lives up to the Quakewave for me personally. I mean, mine came with a broken horn out of package, and some of the pegs were so big. When I pegged it together, I couldn't get it apart. And then when I did get it apart, it actually pulled metal pins out.
Wow.
So mine wasn't that great. They also had the shoulder issue to where they couldn't actually hold the sword upright, most of them. So you put the sword in his hand or the gun in his hand and the arm just fell down. So
okay, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it's still a great looking figure, and I think their swoop or not swoop will be a lot better.
I think it's just going to be a learning curve on the Dinobots, just because you're dealing with a whole different aesthetic and a whole different kind of, you know, size, even bigger than Quakewave. So,
and there's more aesthetics of third-party Dinobots than you can even count this year.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I don't want to shortchange our listeners by not going into these, but I don't want to.
But there's so many
myself.
Of them.
Yeah,
we'll be here another 4 hours.
Well, you've got.
That's the fans project ones, right, Melvar?
Yes. Yes, those are the
those are good ones.
Yeah,
those are good ones.
And then you've got Fans Project is doing at shows. We're getting the Diaclone versions versus the regular retail that have Target Master weapons. And then you've got the ones coming out. They're going to be a combiner into a Dinobot combiner.
Actually, several of the third-party Dinobots are going to be combiners.
Is there more than one group that's supposed to combine?
I think about half of them are going to end up combining.
Well, Shuriking is the one I was thinking of, because their sludge becomes a foot.
It's a pretty nice foot, too, if it's the one I'm thinking about. I know that sounds stupid, but those Dinobots make very attractive feet.
I mean, Shuriking looks good. It's just, for some reason, I've always wanted a Dinobot combiner, but that's, in my head, not the one I want. It doesn't make any sense, I know, but it's just...
No, I kind of get what you're saying.
Yeah, he just looks like Freddy King.
When you spend so much time building up the idea of a thing in your head, it's hard for someone to actually live up to that when they try to make that.
Yeah.
See, also RC.
Yeah, I was about to say, speaking of, be interested to see what you think of RC next week.
That's what I was saying before. You should try to video that, but, you know, difficulties.
If Don likes Kronos, he will like RC. There's just... That's the only way to put it.
Well, if Don likes Kronos and he ends up not liking RC, we kind of have a problem with Don.
Yeah.
Your Don is defective. Send him back and get a new one.
Why don't we jump to March and Selmore?
Oh, yeah, Selmore came out in March.
That's a thing that's not a dinosaur.
Yeah, so the interesting thing... So Selmore was the first use of that mold. It was DX9's... not Psykill, and it seems to me that it was just an excuse to do basically a motorcycle mold so they could do Retgar, because it seems like Retgar was originally what they wanted to do with that. But my God, it's a really great Psykill. Here's within reach.
Now you're doing it.
Yeah. So it's
I have the Retgar, and he's nice. Yeah, it's a nice mold.
It's really nice. It feels really solid. It feels like a toy is the thing. So usually these third party toys, they feel
fragile. Well, not fragile, but they don't feel like
toys. They don't feel like
they don't feel playable.
Yeah, they don't feel like it would be something that my nephew could pick up and not break.
Yeah.
Now his shoulders here, I would be afraid of that. But other than that, I mean, he's just very solidly a toy, and I give major props for that. Nice toy. Yeah.
And there's supposed to be a black and green version of him.
Oil Slick.
I don't want to think about that.
Oil Slick.
I don't want to think about that.
Oil Slick.
And I got to say, out of all the third-party companies that we've seen throughout 2014, DX9 is one of the ones I'm most excited about right now that I didn't even know about before the beginning of 2014.
They're an offshoot of Unique Toys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and well, a lot of people are praising Unique for having such an upswing in the quality levels. Looking at their Predacons going from the dive bomb all the way to the end. This is jumping ahead just a skosh, but DX9 also did the upgrade kit for Evasion.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So Utopia.
Utopia, yeah. You guys drive this one because I don't care.
Hang on, well,
I don't mean I don't care,
sad.
But
so sad.
So Utopia, we learned about that. John actually got a chance. Was it John that got a chance to see it somewhere? Did you see it?
John saw it. Has it? So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don actually got to play with it and feel it up at DF Con.
I got a chance to see it. I didn't want to touch it. It's a very solid
look.
That's
what she said.
Yeah, it's a very solid piece. I mean, it has a lot of mass, and it's really rigid. And
yes.
Yeah.
Feels so good in the hands.
Feels great in the hands. It clicks when you bend it. Wait, that... Yeah.
You gotta really like grip it.
Yeah, we've been recording. I've been doing this for 3.5 hours now, folks. So.
He can do a high kick and balance himself. Now, why? I don't know why.
That is really cool. That takes some engineering.
I'm trying to figure out how to make that into a euphemism.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a,
it's, you know,
well, it's a writer kick. It's a writer kick. His name is Utopia, after all.
Yeah, so
Utopia wasn't.
No. Yeah, so it's a very nice piece, and if it wasn't $400, I would buy it.
So, John, you actually opened yours already, right?
Yeah, I played around with him and transformed him, and now he's on the shelf waiting for the right Autobot sticker to come in for me to put on him.
The ones that you showed us, the metal ones?
Yeah, the metal ones that look like embossed logos. They almost look like, when you apply them to the toy, they look like they're molded.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Pretty sweet. Yes, from
so,
Ocean.
So, is this for what...
Go ahead.
For what Utopia cost, are you satisfied?
Yes, but in full disclosure, I flipped Uranus for him, more or less. So I'm way
well,
happy
I think you came,
how that
you turned
came out.
To the good on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't put your Utopia next to Uranus.
No. Only in my dreams. Only in
you
my
have dreams. You'd have to be pretty flexible to make that work, though.
So, yeah. So, let's see. Navigating through all of the combiners and Dinobots, what else came out this year that was important?
I'm going to, since he's right.
Citizen
here,
Stack?
Oh, God.
Citizen and Die Stack.
There's another thing in April I want to talk about before we move on from there, but Citizen Stack.
I can't reach mine right now, but it's okay. When I said that Salamore feels like a toy, Citizen Stack feels as far away from a toy as possible. He feels like, it almost feels like something, not having a lot of 3D printed stuff, he feels like the world's biggest 3D printed, like, item. It just doesn't feel like it's got a lot of heft. It just, there's something about it, it feels off.
I don't like how it pegs and locks together. Like, it doesn't really peg together, it just kind of slots together in a. But other than that, I mean, I'm a little bit more happy.
It looks nice on my shelf. It looks nice on my shelf. I mean, I do not want to pick it up and play with it. I mean, it's so big and unwieldy that I.
The problem is, I feel that we have a little bit about City Commander too. When all is said and done, because like it just makes that toy so heavy and so hard to move. It looks really nice, but it makes it hard to play with.
Especially the legs, the way the early the legs snap into the trailer.
Yeah,
down there.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, but I mean, just like posing the toy, that the armor makes it difficult, and just overall, you know, you put that on, it looks nice, but you can't really play with the toy anymore. And it sounds like that's kind of the same way that Citizen Stack ends up. It looks really nice, but playing with it is just not pleasant.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play with it. I'm really afraid I'll break it. Diecast came broken. That really scares me.
And I got a replacement part sent to me, and I'm pretty mechanical. I mean, I can take a car apart, and I couldn't figure out how to get this thing apart so I could actually replace the piece that they sent me. So he's just kind of holding it in his hand.
It's like if I open up a G1 toy that has gold plastic.
You'll break it.
I'll break it. I don't expect to open
up. If you
up,
open up any G1 toy, you'll break it.
For the most part. I don't feel like if I'm opening up a brand new item that I get that I should break it just like that. And I'm really afraid of Die Stack that he'll break.
So the other thing that came up in April that I wanted to mention was the concept art toys, concept with a K, mind you, Strika from a bootleg Onslaught.
Yes!
that they were doing with a bootleg Kickstarter.
That's so great.
Which never went through, by the way.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, I was going to say, did that ever happen?
I wanted that.
Now, like, setting aside all of the, like, implications of it, using that mold to make a Strika, and later they added on, like, a stretch goal of an impactor kit for it, the idea works for me. Like, I can kind of see those applications to it, but still, just the whole... They ran a bootleg Kickstarter to bootleg Onslaught to also make a Strika from it. Mind you, they were going to sell it as Onslaught also.
Nice.
That's funny.
Yeah, but obviously that has not come to fruition.
And but no hardhead.
No Botcon no, clench.
Well, I have one of those.
Yeah.
Well, so do I.
I have a hardhead back there too. I got my clench for like $30.
I love how the concept packaging for the Onslaught version looks like a Dark of the Moon era knockoff toy too. That's great.
Well, obviously, I mean.
So
I'd go with what's hot.
Moving to May, we got images of the Mega Steel MS-01, not Stormbringer Megatron. Was that the first? That's the first time we saw that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the first prototype.
Yeah. So that was something.
and here's the Impactor. The bootleg Impactor.
Do you have the link for it? Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah. Sorry, you're showing me. Yeah.
Yeah.
There. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That would have looked nice.
It would have. I mean, you know, I don't really care for the way they went about it, but the ideas were solid. Let's see. Well, Quantron was kind of a surprise in May. Because Make Toys basically debuted a whole combiner team out of nowhere.
Yeah. Who has Quantron?
Mine will be here Tuesday.
John, do you have Quantron?
No, I don't have one. I don't have him because I'm sure Don will
love
him.
You had a baby instead.
He's a little polarizing. He's a little too polarizing.
He doesn't work for me. I have the Creo version. I have the Creo Computron, and he's fine.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the Warbitron Computron. I think that's going to be really nice.
I'm waiting for the other Computron that will confuse me and make me nervous and make me paranoid that will come out. Weird copies. I think that was the coolest third-party thing I heard all year. That's the way Aaron Archer described third-party stuff at TFCon. Weird copies. And we have competing weird copies. And I'll buy some of the stuff, but, you know, it's just not my thing. Let's see here. Blah, blah, blah. Guardian pre-launch version. So, not Metro. So, Perfect Effects Warden is a really nice toy. And we have the Brave Max. Color of it.
Mm-hmm. What I've heard of that is it's a really nice action figure, not really that great of a transformer.
You are exactly right.
Which sounds a lot like Perfect Effect in general.
Yeah. We got that. More third-party Dinobots. Blah, blah, blah.
Yes, more third-party Dinobots. Also, Keith's Fantasy Club, you know, had their Cyclonus, which... Unlike the smart thing to do and make it IDW style, no, they just made another normal G1.
Yeah.
How do you like yours, Don?
I haven't opened it yet. I've been meaning to. It's just... work. I just have not.
So, Don, you know how we talked about you doing video reviews?
Yeah.
I think I have an idea for, like, your rating scale.
Mm-hmm.
You need to rate based on a metric of Kronos. How Kronos is it?
Or is, like, Kronos the coefficient? Is it, like, 1 Kronos, 2 Kronos, 3.5 Kronos?
That's so Kronos.
That is
would
so
then be would they
so
be Kronai after that point?
I don't know. So let's see here. So Mega Steel, we got color images of Mega Steel MSO3 Radio, which is they're not Blaster. Did that come out?
It's coming out by February. I
don't know. I don't know why, because the KFC one looks so much better.
Like
the KFC, it's a masterpiece style, which looks really nice.
Yeah.
The review copies of Radio are being distributed right now, and the final production run should be finished like within the month.
Okay.
Within the month of January, I guess, at this point.
Let's see here. So that was something. June.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff here. Let's see.
The Warbitron Scattershot.
What's different here? Oh, Mania King.
Oh yeah. And speaking of him, I have the... Now, this is a little later. I have the vintage color version here.
Hmm. Yeah, I have it somewhere. I forgot about it.
If it didn't have the arms set up the way they were, I probably would have bought one.
Yeah, that's the one downside. But you can, but generally, most folks I know, or at least me anyway.
Most folks I know, or me anyway.
That would be a folk he knows.
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, you're going to do it as the, you know, over the arm, I'm going to blast you pose, while holding his fist defiantly up at the Autobots. So, I mean, in a Galvatron-looking pose, it pulls it off.
I wish...
just not okay with not having the option, Don. Yeah.
I wish that his arm cannon was fixed. That's one complaint. And just two, it's...
Blue.
Well, no, like...
I wish there would have been somewhere for the head to go in the alternate mode instead of just hanging off the bottom of the cannon.
It's just, yeah. You know, you gotta learn.
I like it.
Yeah. You got the laser version, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the... I got the
LED version. Yeah, I got the LED version. He got the kitty cat laser pointer
version. So, yeah, so the LED version I would say would be superior because a laser pointer is very obviously a laser pointer.
Yeah, you don't really get much spread on a laser pointer.
Yeah, it just looks silly.
It's kind of a thing.
Yeah. But I had it like 2 months before everyone, too, so...
This is true.
Okay, so there's these pictures of Iron Factory Legend Scale Blaster. Did this ever come out?
I don't remember hearing about this again.
Yeah,
that's the one that has the cassette that comes with it becomes the gun, correct? That did come out.
Did it?
Okay.
Yeah, because it does not take standard size cassettes, which we all said.
No.
It's
no,
a legend size no. figure. It can't take standard.
Yeah, this
size
is the one
yeah,
with
Don,
the.
I think you're thinking of the KFC one.
Yeah, this is the one with the little drone things that combine to become a chair.
No, I don't remember seeing
and
that.
And also, everything appears to become like. Armor and weapons for other figures.
Oh yeah, that. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. What about the SXS R2? Not blur. Did that ever come out?
I don't know.
Yes, that did. Isn't that the little small one?
It's masterpiece size.
Masterpiece scale, allegedly.
Oh.
We've heard about this just recently, but I can't remember if it was.
We've heard about this a lot over the last several months. I just don't remember hearing about it coming out.
All right, third party companies should take note. If we can't remember it, you're not marketing it properly.
If we can't identify whether your product has come out in the last 12 months, you may need to like step up your information game a little bit.
Yeah, so we got...
There's way too much of this stuff, and you need to like push your presence. You can't count on us to know everything.
So photos of a Warbitron Strike, which is the not Swindle. It's nice looking.
It's, well, you know, Swindle.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're gonna do a good job capturing one Combaticon, it needs to be Swindle.
Yeah. Or Brawl. In his best form.
The problem with Brawl is that, like, you can't even tell whether he's got his personality component or not.
Yeah.
I mean, Warbotron, this is their first venture from what we know of. And I think all of these figures are pretty strong. They're not perfect, but if Warbotron continues to learn from their mistakes and get better, they may be one of the top third-party companies that we have.
So, moving to July, I completely forgot about this, and I have no idea if it ever came or will come out. The ACT Toys Masterpiece
Hot
Rod.
AC Toys is just the message board where it was posted.
ACT Toys reveal. Do we know a name for who it is?
I don't think so.
I thought AC Toys was a third-party company. God.
AC Toys is a message board.
Okay. Yep. AC Toys would make a great name for a third-party brand.
It would.
So, the KO... they basically took the engineering for Masterpiece Sideswipe and made a Masterpiece Rodimus. I completely forgot about this.
Well, that's because it doesn't look very good.
It looks fine. It doesn't look great, but it looks better than the Masterpiece Rodimus that we got.
Well, that's just because it isn't going to disintegrate.
Yeah.
I was going to say, as a rough mold, if they can refine that and tune that, it could be a very nice hot rod.
Completely forgot. Nova Lord was officially canceled.
Yeah, you know we didn't forget? Nova Lord got canceled.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see here. God. Blah, blah, blah. Let me throttle the Throttlebot combiner. We got photos of that.
And we're still working on that.
Yeah, yeah, still haven't had those last three figures come out.
And we found out that the sixth figure is going to store on the back, and they're probably going to call him Bumblebutt.
That's funny.
The problem with the Throttlebot combiner is I don't think the stores are super eager to carry further entries since Aurora and what was the third one?
Grindrod?
No, Grindrod was the
first one.
Oh, Trace. Okay, sorry.
Trace, yeah. Aurora and Trace are like clearancing out commonly, so
well,
yeah,
I still haven't found a decent price on Trace, but he's been out for over a year now.
Yeah, I mean, they're not selling strongly is the problem.
I'd buy them if I could get Grindrod.
Well, yeah, that's another problem. Grindrod sold out, and they're not making any more yet. And if you can't get all of them, what's the point? What, Don?
The problem with Aurora is he's Searchlight, and Searchlight is plain. He's blue and white.
Mostly white.
That's a very white car.
Yeah, it's
like my dad's 86 Ford Escort.
It's like the only thing that makes that figure worse if it was a Ford Pinto.
Like, because it's so common to have like supercars and luxury cars and sports cars as Transformers, the normal cars appeal to me visually because they're different. But at the same time, I know for most people that's probably not the case, and I'm not interested in getting the Toy World Throttlebots that much.
Yeah,
so it's not really working for me.
Well, we did see pictures of TFCon, and I did see some prototypes at TF Sources booth. So we do know that they're in the pipeline. So hopefully we'll have our Not Puzzler before too long.
It'll be 2017.
Before we get the fourth figure.
Yeah.
Well, remember when we said that TFC's Constructicons would take years to come out? And they did the whole team in under a year?
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if they've got the infrastructure lined up, they can get a bunch of stuff out rapidly. It's just it depends, you know, who we're talking about.
And
but ultimately,
they're working on their Dinobots.
How much
right
money
now,
that they have being thrown at them to actually release them? Yeah.
Right.
Let's see here. So we got some Toy World images. Speaking of Toy World images of their combiner Dinobots, but not just the bits and pieces in August. More Dinobots. KFC changed their name to KTC, but nobody's adhered to it, so that kind of...
Including them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly it's them that didn't adhere to it, because the retailers were the ones asking them to change their name, and so they're still calling themselves KFC, though.
So we got photos of Fans Project Quick Switch and Six Night. Does it ever come out?
Not yet.
Not yet. Early next year, I think?
Yeah.
As reliable as Fans Project release dates are, anyway.
Yeah, they're very nice looking.
Yeah, like a Fans... They're nice looking like a Fans Project toy. It's just the question mark of, well, will this be out anywhere near when they're implying it will be out?
Yeah. No. So, in September, Unique Toys announced their Abominus...
Wait. Before that, though, KFC's pointless recolors of their Mugen scope is Shockwave, Blaster, and a new Perceptor because everybody hated the first one.
Yeah.
But still, Shockwave and Blaster off a Perceptor frame.
$75. Too expensive. but actually, that was the only way to get their Bad Bath to begin with, wasn't it? They sold it separately or didn't?
At first, I think.
Yeah. That's such
a
terrible...
That wasn't that great either,
no,
I don't think.
It's crap. let's see here. September, Unique Toys announced Orden, which is their homage to Abominus.
Orden, the thing in their font that looked like groin.
Yeah. Fans Project teased Monstructor / Dino King homage, which we got photos of at TFCon.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Terminus Sectatron reformatted version, which I have waiting for me right now.
And a bunch of Mastermind stuff from various sources, like, you know, they're doing an Impactor, a Strike, they're doing Decepticon Justice Division figures.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of stuff they revealed around and at TFCon.
What's the difference with the reformatted Hexatron? It's at the head, right? It's got a remolded head.
Every release has like a different accessory assortment, different colors. At least the one has a different head mold.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
the new one has metallic paint, I think.
Yeah, I've got it waiting for me. I need to get that shipped. Let's see here. Blah blah blah. I forgot about this.
What?
KFC's Overkill and Slugfest.
Oh, yeah.
Forgot those existed.
Well, it's KFC, I mean.
Yeah, those look pretty good, actually.
And then there's Arc Studios' little miniaturized Datsuns.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things look awful. And, like, Vangelis got a hold of some display samples at TFCon Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Which have the funniest disclaimer warnings on the package.
What did it say?
I can't remember verbatim, but there's things like, due to our production quality and methods, playing with the toy may result in loss of paint.
Nice. At least they didn't say vision.
But it's things along that line, and there's like, there is more that than any other copy on the packaging. It was kind of amazing to hear read off.
Our friends at Master Shooter had their TFCon USA exclusive Detective Ball Gag and Hustler, which I have right here.
How are you enjoying your Ball Gag, Don?
It's on my night beat just fine.
My night beat is
sentences on a Transformers podcast.
My night beat still in package, so my Ball Gag is sitting in his plastic prison.
It's right next to his Grind Rod and his Uranus.
Okay, yeah,
I sold Hustler because mainly it's Armada Starscream, and who really likes Armada Starscream?
Hey,
yeah,
President,
he's a great toy. So we actually got to see us at TFCon. KTC KFC showed off Transistor, which is their not Blaster, and on the surface it looks really nice. I haven't got a chance to play around with it, but it looks good.
I have seen a final production video review.
Me too,
and it does look really good. Hello.
I thought you were imitating.
I thought that was Massey attacking.
No, it was. He was trying to get my attention. He put his claws in my side.
November. Worked. Blah blah blah. More Transistor stuff.
If only he would have been in frame with that, that would be perfect.
So KFC, we are also doing their masterpiece. Not doing it. Not Psykill. Yeah, he's. Salmore's vaguely masterpiece sized. He's closer to masterpiece than deluxe. So it's fitting that in KFC fashion, his name is Junk Warrior. And that's probably pretty accurate.
Then there's the AFT-07 Titanium Saints Alpha Trion, which true to its name looks like a Titanium's toy.
But again, I watched a video review. I do not believe it's worth the price. For
how much is it?
$115, I think.
$115, but
it's roughly deluxe size, a little bigger.
Yeah, if it was around $70 to $80, I think it would
be a little high.
Yeah, well, I mean, but I do like what they've done with some of it, and it is a decent looking Alpha Trion.
Yeah, it is.
It's got the image down pretty well, and I like. That, you know, they have it turned into a battleship because, you know, different kinds of alt modes. But,
I am a wise old Autobot. Here's my battleship mode.
For the price, though, and it's just, no.
Yeah.
That may be something to keep your eyes on, unfortunately, down the road.
For clearance, yeah.
So,
The thing that gets me, too, is, though, this is AFT-07, implying there were 6 designs before this one. Hi, Cat.
So, DX9's Invisible. We got photos of that. And I still want to go back and forth on that.
And also, there's the Invisible version of Invisible. The clear versions.
Now, Okay, so Kilby, now if they do this as Crasher, what will you do?
I'd probably buy that.
That's so what I'm waiting for.
Because
I mean, you might wait, because I doubt they will skip on a Crasher.
If DX9 becomes the third-party GoBot company, I mean, that would be awesome.
That's yeah, it's not a bad niche.
See, this figure I'm definitely going to get, so I'm actually looking forward to reviewing this figure.
I am in love with its vehicle mode. And
yeah, I mean, it's the perfect G1 Mirage vehicle.
But certain photos make the robot mode look great, certain modes make the robot mode look not great, but the vehicle mode looks like heaven.
The robot mode, the only thing that really scares me is that waist area. It looks a little strange in some photos.
Yeah.
The clear version is limited to 1,000 pieces. They're doing that.
It will never sell out.
Yeah, it's like the BotCon version of that of Classics Mirage.
It really makes me sad when I think that we have more listeners than these third party toys have production runs, and not that we don't have a lot of listeners, but you would think that a toy line that something they actually have a run of would sell more and. Now, okay, so go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
Kind of. Also, in November, we saw X-Transbot's masterpiece-style Megatron figure.
Oh yeah, that looks nice.
Which I think that was also at TFCon.
Yeah, we saw
display.
It. Apollyon. Apollyon. He is the best looking third party Megatron ever.
Well, and the thing too is like the accessories they picked out to put with it is a really good selection. It's got the lightsaber from the movie. It's got the helmet from Prime Problem. You know, they actually, like, paid attention and got together good accessories for it.
He gets everything right that, wasn't
Hegemon.
Hegemon got wrong for me. he just looks perfect.
Hegemon
perfect.
Hegemon didn't look terrible. He didn't look bad.
It was in gun mode. To me, it's uncanny. It's the Uncanny Valley. He was so close, yet it was off enough to just bothered me.
Yeah.
But just be forewarned that X-Transbots and KFC or KTC, whatever you want to call them, are the same.
Yeah, I mean that makes sense.
So.
I mean, like KFC stuff tends to look great. I don't want to transform it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, you know, I am wary about putting money on it, but you know, maybe if they're pushing it, especially with a sub brand, maybe they're trying to do a little better. You know. I would kind
Lego
of like to give
shirt.
Him a chance. I'm just worried about the money.
Lego yeah. my
oh,
shirt.
There's the Massey attack.
Lego
yeah.
my
it's
shirt.
A Massey standoff right now.
Yeah, it's not really an attack yet.
That's a
good time.
Wonderful shirt. I don't want Massey to destroy that.
Yeah,
I know.
Let's see here. And for December...
You need like safety coveralls for podcasting, so Massey can't ruin your
Oh, holy crap. I don't...
And you know what? Before we go on, I just wanted to say sorry. The Massian attack got me off guard. This X-Transbot's not Megatron. I would probably jump on this if there wasn't the rumors of MP25 being a Megatron.
Yeah, that's also an issue, and it just kind of goes to these guys kind of have bad timing in general.
Yeah, pretty much. So I didn't realize, I don't know that I've, either I'm just so tired I don't remember, or I just don't remember seeing it. We have new photos of, this goes back 3 weeks, new test shots of the third-party Terracons.
We talked about this.
So I don't remember seeing all four of these guys together, so they look
great.
We talked
about this, I was here.
Okay. My brain doesn't work. So they look great. So
but yeah, in December we saw those, we saw the color image of the... G Creations Dinosaur Combiner, the Legends Scourge and Ratchet. You know, most of the stuff we talked about in the last 2 weeks.
So my favorite thing that though from all of December is what we talked about this past week, which was the third party, not Creo, Angry Birds toys. My God, they so look like they're official, and they are so IP infringing. They are wonderful in all their capacity for good. I love them.
They look like kids wearing Angry Birds Transformers Halloween costumes.
No, they're great. So, yeah. So anything else third-party wise?
Isn't that enough?
I know. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll finish things off with...
too many dinosaurs, too many Predacons.
Yeah, I know.
Give it a rest.
So with Miscellaneous, we'll be back here in a couple minutes.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages.
Look, it's Predaking!
Me, Grimlock, think we in big trouble!
Not to worry! Here comes Skylings!
Skylings, this ferocious motorized Autobot triple changes from Space Shuttle to Bird and Lynx, and then combines to form Skylings.
Predaking's attacking! Skylings will stop them!
The Transformers, batteries not included, from Hasbro.
Before a night on the town, or after a show, the rock backstage is where Jen goes.
Outside, it's a rock and roll speaker. Inside, Jim keeps a wardrobe and accessories. And there's a real speaker you plug your own music into while Jim gets ready for a night out with the hologram.
Now it's a city!
Jim's Rock Backstage, Jim's wardrobe, and Jim and her friends sold separately from Hasbro.
We now return to Radio Free Cybertron.
We're going to go ahead and catch up on all the miscellaneous items that sort of fell outside of our... bucket list here. So, jumping into January, nothing at all. Nothing at all.
Well, we, like, Jeff Klein let slip that the next cartoon series in full production already.
That's true. I forgot about that. And that is,
you know, just like hints at the things to come.
So, in February, Shardicon, was started. This, it's like a Kickstarter, but not exactly a Kickstarter, it was the Shardicon Club, which I thought was a great idea. So
yeah, it was a pre-registration campaign.
It was a pre-registration campaign. Yeah, based on whatever tier you were, your, exclusives, was based off that. And I thought it was just a great way to, sort of pre-gather funds, but unfortunately it didn't work out. And later on it was announced that Shardicon 2015 was not going to happen, which is a bummer because it's one of the best darn conventions I've ever gone to.
Oh, I had such a good time at Shardicon.
I love that convention.
I did too. Plus, wait.
Plus, you know, at Shardicon we got to meet Melvar, and we, you know, got to add another awesome person.
Yeah, that
to our
that alone here. Was worth it. I mean,
I know it totally was.
And Chris and Rob got to meet each other for the first time ever, and they've been friends.
Yes,
for
after
like
knowing each
years.
Other for over a decade.
Yeah. Isn't it great? The internet's awesome.
Yes,
the
internet is not just for porn.
That's true. Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Oh my gosh!
Avenue Q, Avenue Q. We've all seen Avenue Q, right?
Yes,
I love that.
Still,
so I was going to say Shart, but Shout releases Armada and Energon series sets, and animated season 3, which we never had till that point, which is pretty awesome, as well as a full series box set for animated.
Did anybody get Armada or Energon?
Nope.
I got a review copy. Of Armada.
Yeah,
that's true.
I got both. Okay.
And so we also...
Well, you weren't around to see them the first time, were you?
No, I was, but it was... I didn't have a TV Guide at that point, and it kind of was sporadic when, you know, so I definitely missed episodes.
Yeah, well, you didn't really, but...
You didn't miss much, but you did not see.
Yeah.
You were mercifully saved from seeing some episodes.
So the Transformers Universe MMO game preview of New Warrior, was that a character that you got to play?
I forget the name of the specific one, but yeah, they introduced a fairly respectable roster of original to the game characters.
Yeah, so that was announced in February. Let's see here. Go ahead.
Oh, just to interject. They claimed at one point that Hasbro was going to make figures of some of them, but that was never really backed up.
Let's see if it happens. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
So in March, Bebog had a Kickstarter. Solar Bear versus Slaughter, Pick Slaughter.
Well, they ran their Kickstarter through the end of 2013, and it was in March when they revealed After the Kickstarter ended, the backers got to vote on the colors for the exclusive. So that was done. The names were chosen based on the colors, and in March we got to find out what we were actually getting. And the orange one.
Yeah, I know. To be honest with you, I was thinking at the Kickstarter ended then. Love you, Trent, but it did take me a while to get that. So, but I know that he had some complications.
But other people got it way before me.
So other people got several copies way before me for review too. So took a little while. So let's see here. So So there was a campaign project, a Kickstarter, I guess, for Transform Me, which also launched, and that happened. So we learned that a Transformers animated new series was coming in 2015, with a first look at the Bumblebee, and as well as Optimus Prime. So we had sort of guessed that Optimus Prime was going to be sort of
Alpha Trion?
Alpha Trion / Obi-Wan sort of character.
Jaga,
too. God, yeah. total
it's archetype. A common character type, isn't it?
Yeah. And we got a teaser trailer for this new game that's coming out called Rise of the Dark Spark. So let's see how that turned out. So moving to April, let's see here. We learned about Mega Drive Megatron, and that was, you know, actually we've got images of it. I don't know if we just learned about it.
Yeah, we've got images. It came out last month.
Yeah, but we got, like, early test shots of it back then. I don't remember if that was the first time we'd heard about it or not. But let's see here. Transformers Universe, a game toy line was revealed. That would have been interesting. Let's see. Let's see if it actually comes out. And the Founders Initiative, which is basically pay-to-play, or not really pay-to-play. It was that you get extra perks and stuff for basically paying Jagex for the Founders level tier, whatever it was.
Because, you know, that's a free-to-play game. You pay them actual money, and you get a better game experience.
Yeah. That's pretty much how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. We got videos around Universe, which I don't think I was still able to play it yet. And we got a trailer, Rise of the Dark Spark. And we'd actually, I guess at that point, we already knew that it was a crossover between the Movieverse games and the War for Cybertron games. So that
But not made by High Moon.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it can't possibly be bad.
No. How could it be?
Not at all.
And we learned that the animated box set that we were talking about before would actually be an Amazon exclusive, which I really completely forgot about.
Season 3 was mass market, though. I saw it at Target
I saw that at Target myself.
Yeah, Season 3 was wide release, and the full series set became Amazon exclusive.
Oh my, June. Okay, so June happens, and...
yes, June does happen almost every year.
Yep.
Almost.
It sure does. And we learned about it.
And she wore high heels just for pride.
Oh, that's funny. That's true. Let's see here. So we got more concept art for Universe. And video game gameplay footage as well
from the closed beta.
Yeah, from the closed beta.
That Brian never got in.
Yeah. Dang it. We learned that Beast Machines was going to be released by Shout, which was cool. And we learned more about Robots in Disguise, which would be 2015.
We learned it would have the same animation company behind it that Transformers Prime did, which, I mean,
yeah,
it had good animation, so, yeah. That's a strong sign.
And Angry Birds Transformers was announced at that point. Also, let's see here. So, I guess, actually, it was also in June when Rise of the Dark Spark actually came out.
Yep.
Because it was concurrent with the movie, and my God...
Still trying to forget about that.
But okay, so
we did get. Well, we were one of the few outlets that did get review copies of this game. We got multiple.
Well,
review.
Here's the deal: Let's players and, you know, people who were doing streaming things got copies like on the day of release. It's pretty customary for most games to for reviewers writers to get copies before release, and when something is going to be a dog is when that doesn't happen, exactly. As we saw later in the year with Assassin's Creed Unity. And yeah, we never saw at T-Formers a copy of Dark Spark for review at all.
We got it the day before, though, didn't we, Diecast?
No, I think we got it.
I remember the email string.
It was the day of.
Yeah.
There were no early copies given out of that game.
Yeah, not a
game. It was day of or after.
Not a great game. And like a couple days after, I heard like kids at the movie theater just talking crap about it, which is kind of awesome.
Well, okay, and like when I went to visit Hey Mickey, we went and saw Age of Extinction together with one of his friends in Chattanooga and his dad, actually. You know, he has a PS4, and no, he had... Well, I think he does now. It was a PS. He had the PS3, and he turned on the PS3 share thing or whatever. We were watching someone else streaming Rise of the Dark Spark, and I honestly thought it was War for Cybertron. Not even Fall of Cybertron, War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
So that's just kind of, you know, how backward that game ended up being.
Yeah. So in July, Universe hits open beta. Finally, I get to play this. Oh, wait. Maybe it wasn't worth the wait. I couldn't get to play as my character that I designed. None of this stuff, and it kind of sucked. But you know, I'm certain it'll get better. I'm certain the game will actually improve, and we'll be playing it for many. Yeah, it'll have to get better.
Let it run for a while. Let them work out the kinks.
Yeah, we'll be playing it for many years.
For
like,
yeah.
I'm still playing Skyrim, and it came out like 3 years ago. Certainly, I'll still be playing this 5 years from now, right? So,
oh, sure.
Let's see here.
I mean, look at World of Warcraft.
Yeah, exactly. So Hasbro's profits jumped 32% in sales for their toys, but unfortunately missed Wall Street's expectations, I guess, because of the movie. I forgot. We also learned in July that Shardicon 2015 would not be happening and that the convention exclusives were canceled. And people who joined the Shardicon Club, they were refunded their money. Mm-hmm.
Which, that's a stand-up thing to do because Absolutely. A lot of these that canceled kept the money.
Yeah. So, as we all know, and we talked about earlier, Age of Extinction made a lot of money overseas, and it helped expand Hasbro Studios, so they're able to do way more now, and they've really blown up, and not in a bad way, but in scale. So, you know, kudos to Hasbro. And Hasbro's actually, it seems like they're going to take more control back over some of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that means better movies. We'll see.
Battleship 2.
So we also got a video of the remake of Mystery of Convoy. This one, is it a cell phone game or a flash game?
It's a cell phone game to support the little Super Deformed Q Transformers line.
Yeah. Let's see here. The Complete All Spark Almanac went up for pre-order. I have both parts of it, so I didn't get it, but I do have the complete arc, and it's phenomenal, so if I didn't already have both pieces, I would get that. Let's see here. Moving to September, Buster Jones died. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That sucks. And we also learned that New York Comic Con would feature Robots in Disguise 2015 panel, which I guess... did that end up happening in when was New York Comic Con, Diecast? Was that...
It was October.
October. Mm-hmm. So, why don't you tell us about that? You were there.
Oh, God, I have to think what happened. That's when they played a couple clips for us. First time we saw, like, Grimlock and, Strongarm, and they basically said that Bumblebee was, you know, the leader now, which I think we knew. But basically his team is a team he didn't want, and he didn't want to be back on Earth. So he kind of felt like, you know, the mission was below his abilities. So it's going to be... I think the show is going to be interesting to watch.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I think it looks very promising. I love the animation style.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone will make me want... Like, Prime, there's just something about it. It tried to be too realistic.
This is a step back towards animated, and I like that.
Yeah, me too. I totally like that. Let's see here. So what else? We got the official Optimus Prime, or the Optimus Prime PlayStation figure to accompany Mega Drive Megatron. Transformers Legacy, which we had been looking forward to for the longest time, which was the Transformers packaging art book by Jim and Bill that was released. It's a killer piece, so if you don't have it, you need to get it. Hasbro officially announced AllSpark Pictures to produce content for Transformers and other brands, which is part of their big expansion, which is pretty awesome. November, Angry Birds Transformers came out for Android. It was already out for iOS, and I really like it. Michael Bay announced that he would not be directing Transformers 5.
But yes, for the fourth time, he announced that he will not be returning the Transformers.
Almost the exact time of year that he announced he would not be directing Transformers 4.
Now, he only announced he wasn't doing 4. He never said that for 1, 2, or 3, right?
No, he did for 3.
I'm sure he didn't want to do 3 either.
Yeah.
He may have been on board for Revenge of the Fallen, and when he swore off of that, we just assumed he'd learned his lesson.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. We learned that...
Just like the audience, Michael Bay doesn't learn.
So, we learned that...
I learned after one try.
The third one was a lot better, but still not great. So, Transformers the movie, the soundtrack, we learned was going to be re-released on vinyl, which I can't wait to get.
for about $50.
Yeah, I know.
Don, how much did you get yours for in 1988?
$225.
But that was in 1980-something.
Yeah.
No, it was 1992, as a matter of fact.
Close enough.
Oh, yes, because that's so much better.
So,
I'll take every year I can get.
Because Transformers Universe was doing so well. Clearly, they didn't need as many people supporting it because it was really running itself. It's sad, but Jagex laid off some of their team members. But you know, that was November. Now in December, I'm certain we're going to find out about how much better it's doing. Yeah. So,
less overhead. It's got to be doing better.
Oh, in December. Okay, I feel bad now. Actually, Transformers Universe was shut down. Wow, I didn't expect that.
Segment long joke, and the payoff was totally worth it.
Well, okay. Well, moving along. At least we still have G1 cartoon on Netflix. Oh well, no, actually that's gone at the end of 2014. Something good. Let's see here. Platinum Edition G1 reissues. That was something.
I mean, that's good news. Except these are actually out in Singapore, and the Insecticons are $100.
Gosh.
Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. I found out.
Imagine what the cone heads are going to cost.
$5,000.
Insecticons cost $100.
$100. A set of Insecticons. Now, is that $100 Singapore or is that $100?
It is the equivalent to $100 in Singapore money. I don't know what the proper word for Singapore money is, though. I'm sorry.
Hang on.
Safe bet is dollar.
Hang on, I can find out. Hang on, give me just a second.
Let's see.
The point is, though, the person who actually found these in Singapore and I guess posted the original pictures too, said that the price in Singapore is equivalent to $100 U.S.
Singapore's currency is called the dollar.
Okay, I did not know.
Safe bet. Okay, it's reused.
I like Singapore money better.
Yeah. So let's see here. So this is good news. Frank Welker is the number one highest grossing actor of all time. That's not voice actor. Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Just let that sink in.
Extinction was good for something.
Yeah. That's pretty huge. And guess what? That's it. That's the last bit of miscellaneous news that I have. We know that BotCon is going to be in Chicago
this
coming year.
Rosemont?
No, not Rosemont, Don. It's in...
St. Charles or something?
Yeah. It's somewhere over an hour outside of Chicago.
Yeah, it's vaguely in Chicago, which we found out in Chicago for TFCon.
It's in a distant Chicago suburb. Like, I lived in the Chicago suburbs for years, and I have never been to this suburb because it is so far away.
I still don't exactly get why they announced it at TFCon. Because it's not like it was a preemptive measure, like, oh, well.
Yes, it's not like it was going to make us turn around and leave Chicago.
Exactly. It seems almost like a Me Too sort of thing.
Okay, TFCon. Now, TFCon Toronto usually announces its date, like, within days of the ending of the current one, right?
Yeah,
like they announce way in advance. They're not like BotCon. So maybe they wanted to get out the BotCon information. Like, they knew they would be somewhere in Chicago. They wanted to get the information out before TFCon announced if they were going to have another Chicago show next year. Because, you know, they wanted to get the jump on the reservations.
Yeah.
If it was set in stone, I guess.
That would be my guess.
If they'd already planned it. That makes sense.
Plus, it could also be like what they did for, you know, it's the same thing as a trademark. You know, they trademarked Machine Robo to keep Bandai from bringing Machine Robo Rescue over here.
And someone I knew in Bandai at the time was really unhappy about that happening.
So maybe them claiming Chicago for this around the same time next year is them basically trademarking Chicago.
You can't trademark Chicago.
I'm drawing a parallel.
Now, maybe if they put, like, you know, Special Ops Chicago, they might be able to get away with that, like, defend that legally. But no, I mean, Chicago by itself, they wouldn't be able to make a case for it.
But, you know, I'm just saying they were trying to claim that area, so TFCon would be hesitant to reuse the same area around the same time.
Yeah, but ultimately, I don't think TFCon cares.
Yeah, they did pretty well in Chicago, so...
So by all accounts I've heard, TFCon Chicago outperformed all the expectations of the organizers and the hotel they're in.
That's pretty much what I hear.
And... like I said, TFCon doesn't care what BotCon's going to do because TFCon knows they have a dedicated following who is going to go to TFCon even if there is a BotCon in a similar time frame. They will go to TFCon instead.
Right.
They know that to be the case. BotCon will have no problem filling its convention space, but you know they are not a threat to TFCon. It is two different audiences.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't understand why TFCon can do it. You know, basically in the heart of Chicago.
I understand pretty well why, because TFCon does not have to go through Hasbro for every decision that gets made. You know, they do not have the same kind of legal obstacles and license obligations that Fun Publications has to get everything approved as it's going along. That slows down the process a lot.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
XV is smart.
How does that affect the location, though?
Because they cannot just like go a year in advance and say, we want to have this here. They have to get Hasbro to say, okay, this is fine, do this. They, you know, Funpub is a licensee. So, you know, the terms of their license, Hasbro has to sign off on the decisions they make in organizing the convention. Whereas TFCon can just do whatever works for TFCon without having to have any overhead.
Pretty much. That makes sense.
It may not make sense from, like, I don't know what other way to describe it. I'm just going to say, like, a street level view. Like, why Hasbro needs to be that involved, but that's as involved as Hasbro wants to be with this.
No, and I know Hasbro needs to be involved, but I just don't understand why they can't choose a location like TFCon that's... if they're going to choose Chicago or, you know, Illinois, why it can't be...
There's a lot of different places they could be in Chicago. There's cost-benefit stuff they have to go through. You know, it is a whole involved process because they are... you know, an actual business. They're not a fan organization that's putting this together. You know, they've got their processes they have to go through in order to get locations cleared, get dates set up, and, you know, there's a lot of factors because they're an actual business.
And it's not just that they are a business. This is their business. It's not like...
exactly.
This is a huge chunk of their actual revenue for a year. They have to turn a profit. They have to turn a hefty profit. Where, TFCon?
Yeah, pretty easy. And, like, I think Hasbro's level of involvement probably still goes back to how the last couple years of 3H were.
Yeah, they're probably. Or actually, where? Wasn't even 3H.
They're
was it was when Glenn was running it, was it still called 3H?
I think. Probably. I think it remained 3H, but you know the BotCon name went with the Hartmans.
Yeah.
When that split occurred.
Yeah. So, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, I kind of talked that to death, didn't I? Sorry.
So, people, you know, we've been recording now for about 4 hours.
Criminy.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. Don't know exactly how long the show will run, but we appreciate those of you who have stuck around with us. And
this is the longest show of the year. So, that's not the longest show that's not like a live event coverage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, since it's going to be a couple weeks till we're back recording live, this might be worth breaking up.
I thought about it, but I want to hit it up all in one. I think just
fair enough.
I don't have a natural break in it.
And that way everyone can choose if they want to sit down and do it all in one sitting, or if they want to come back to it
It's easier for the listeners to just take a break on their own and come back to it later than it is to break the show into two segments and make people come back the following week.
Like, I pause on long podcasts and I just resume later. So that's what you guys hopefully did. If not, if you sat here waiting for the show to end.
That's one reason I use Media Player Home Classic to listen to some longer podcasts, because there's actually like a bookmark feature.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's actually very convenient for that purpose.
So what you guys need to do is go back and listen in chunks after you've already listened to it once. But make sure you download it again first, because it doesn't work if you don't download it again.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. Exactly. So download it 5 times and tell your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your friends to download it 5 times. So, hey, I don't pay for any extra
And then go watch it on YouTube a couple more
then
times.
Then watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Watch it on
actually watch it on YouTube, because on videos over like 25 minutes, YouTube will actually hold your place for a while if you go away and come back. So it's actually perfect. It's built right into the system. Just watch us on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Guys, thank you so much for hanging around with us. It's been a heck of a year. It's been an awesome year in a lot of ways. It's been a hard year in more ways.
Yeah.
It's a shame, obviously, that JD's not here with us to actually, JD wouldn't be here. He would be doing something more productive. He'd probably be playing Minecraft, but
and not doing Fanboy Versus.
That's exactly right. Actually, he might be playing Pokemon and like just you know, he might chime in every couple minutes after.
No, I'm sure if JD was with us, he would have had a lot of things to say about Transformers Universe, because he would have been playing it.
And you would have had a lot more editing to do.
That's true. I've got
it would have been so much more fun.
I know. I've got a lot of editing right now, so. Thankfully,
yes,
I don't have
no
to.
No one said yet, so you don't have any major editing to do.
Edit point.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. We'll see you guys later. Have a good one.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and have a great New Year. Take care.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Festivus for the rest of us.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers, it's better than crack.